This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
All right, I'm just going to put this out there.
Okay.
You said you were nervous about coming on. And you actually, I think you're my first person that refused that part. I was like, and it. So you did HT tours with us, right?
Yep.
And that's the reason I put it out to you is we were waiting for Ira to come on, and we had a chat just like this. And I was like, that was great. And it took our like 5 or 10 minutes. And like anything else, home theater guys, we like stuff. You've got a home theater. And next thing you know, we just had a chat. It was like we knew each other and we literally had just met, but we were just talking. So I was like, we totally hit it off. I go, you should just come on, take over Tuesday. And you said to me, what did you say? You say it.
I said, I don't think I'm interesting enough. Basically, not interesting enough to fill 2 hours.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You don't have to. I think that's become the common goal. Everybody's like, if I don't fill 2 hours, I'm like, I got to get somebody on that just goes, I'm going to talk 20 minutes. Okay, cool. I don't care. Right. And it's like, but who cares? It's because that's not the goal. It's usually what ends up happening is we shut it off. It's like somebody has a hard deadline or something. It's not that we can't. It's that we have to stop. But I was like, that's what I said back to you. I was like, well, think about it, do whatever. And obviously you got back to me a little later and you're like, but it's like, And I love those stories because I'm getting more and more of them. More people are coming forward and they're like, I talked to somebody today and through an email, and that's what's interesting to me is that I'm getting people I've never interacted with ever, like just coming up, which I think is great. And I think that's, you know, and I've said, usually we save this part for the end because we haven't talked, you know, but you've got experience, Mike. You've been on HT tours. You know what this is like. So, but
experience. Honestly, that was my hesitation is that I don't feel like I have any experience.
Like, you have a home theater.
That's all it matters. Sure. Yes. I've never like worked in the industry. I'm a PE teacher for goodness sake. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, like, I guess that was my thing is that other than trial and error and just experimentation, I don't have any experience. You know, I don't know if I'm doing this right. I'm just putting it together and having fun and
you know? Yeah, but you know what's funny is that's the common ground. It's like that's all I have. I'm a car painter for God's sakes, right? And I'm like I have like you talk with like Aaron Braden, right? From HT guys. They have an Academy Award for God's sakes.
What? They do?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. So Ara, one of the first I think it was the first time I talked to them. Like I'd been listening. They're very, very humble about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't talk about it a lot. I honestly had never heard it in their podcast. And when Ira was on with me, he said, he's like, oh yeah, we worked at Sony and it was like a matter of fact type thing. And he goes, yeah. And we developed this and I don't know what it is. And I mean, I literally just talked to Ira today. So it's not, I'm like, he could have just told me today and I'd be like, I don't know. They developed something that I don't want to say revolutionized the video industry or whatever, how they make movies, but whatever it is, their team, right, won an Academy Award, won an Oscar for, you know, development in the industry or whatever it is. But they literally, their team won an Academy Award. And he goes, well, I didn't win it. My team did. I go, right. And like, Chara didn't win the Stanley Cup. His team did.
Exactly.
You were on the team that won right. an Academy. I'm like, you. So I'm like, and as soon as he said that, I'm like, damn, I was nervous having you on my podcast in the first place. Now I find out I got Academy now. And then when Braden came on, I've hosted two Academy Award winners on my podcast. Right. What the hell? Right. So you can't live up to that. And then, but at the same time, that's what's great about this hobby is that it's not necessarily about, it's not our knowledge. It's not our experience per se. It's just really about our passion. Like,
yeah,
I was actually wrong when I said you have a home theater, because I would love to host somebody that just doesn't even have a home theater yet, which we are. I know I was there one day. I wanted one, but yeah. You know what I mean? But then all of a sudden be like, before I had my dedicated theater, I had a setup in my living room but people have dreams of this stuff. Maybe they're listeners. I don't know, but it's more about the passion of it. And that's why we end up going multiple hours, is because it's just like, hey, this is fun, you know. It's like it's just fun to talk about, and people enjoy talking about it, and obviously people are listening, they enjoy listening. So but thank you for coming on, everybody. This is Mike Schramm of obviously the experienced podcaster. Now he's been on the HT Tours podcast. You can go and see his Schramm Home Theater. And I saw your tweet today. You're designing your own logo, if you will.
Yeah, you know, Steve
you got
George,
from Steve.
He inspired me.
Isn't that
cool? Pretty
cool.
The cups that he has.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what got me. I was like, dang, that's pretty sweet. I want something like that.
And the matching coasters.
Oh yeah.
That's hysterical. Yeah. I love in the video when he goes, oh yeah, yeah. No, those, they got a match. no, they don't. But okay. Yeah. I mean, Steve George's is getting a lot of hits. Your theater. Holy crap.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, honestly.
We're like, what the heck? It's like, it's amazing. It's awesome. But that's what I'm saying. There's a passion for this. And how does that make you feel? Does that make it a little easier coming on here too?
This Tuesday's episode, whatever you want to call it. You were talking about, you saw some question about subwoofers, and the guy wasn't getting the experience he wanted in his open room with his subwoofer. Mm-hmm. And you threw it out there and said, all right, well, what does this guy got to do to get the experience he wants with his subwoofer? And immediately I thought, he needs to build a wall. Like,
yeah,
sorry, exactly. Man, you're not going to get it unless you build the wall.
Right.
And that made me feel better. Just that one thing, just, okay, maybe I do know what I'm talking about a little bit.
Yeah. But, you're right. And that's what's fun about listening to any of these podcasts, like, and you listen to AV Rant, you learn stuff, but you also, you get validation of what you already know. Like, oh,
yeah.
You'll hear somebody ask a question and be like, oh, I could answer this.
Yeah.
Right. And you'll be like, oh, and then you listen to Rob, listen to it back, and you're like, hey, all right, I knew my stuff. Same idea. It's the same. Yep. And there's so many things. Actually, Tom and Rob were on, as you're hearing, you haven't heard it yet because I recorded with Tom and Rob. I recorded a podcast with the two of them, which actually comes out tomorrow as we're recording this.
Oh, okay.
So that's what Friday's podcast is going to be. And the listeners have already heard it by the time they hear this. But that was, what a treat. It's honestly, the two of them, there were times I was sitting there, you can go on the YouTube and watch it. And it's like, I'm like, am I going to get a word in? It's like, because they're just so, it was fun though. We riffed, we talked about all different stuff. There was zero Zero plan or anything. We just talked and we had a great time. Absolute great time. And that's what I kind of wanted to do. That's one of the requests I've gotten from people is like, because AV Rant does their thing all the time, you know, where you listen to that podcast, it's so formulaic and they have to get to all those questions, right?
Right.
So you don't really get to know them. And I feel I tried to bring a little of that out and it was fun. It was fun. But that's, Mike, today's about you. Today's about you. So how does your family feel about the HT tours?
My dad was all proud of me, like I'm a TV star or something. Oh, you know, I think my kids are embarrassed, honestly.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
That you'd think it'd be the other way around. No offense, but my dad, I tell him about this stuff and he goes, yeah, I've been listening to you for years. I don't want to hear it in a recording.
Well, my daughter's finishing up seventh grade. My son is finishing up sixth. So they're both at that stage where my parents are annoying and embarrassing and, you know. Mm. And so I think it's one of those things where, you know, if I'm going to be on YouTube, it's got to be something cool and hip and, you know what I mean? And I guess home theater's just not cool enough for them. I don't know. But,
So they think everybody has, it sounds to me, they think everybody has a home theater. Like they don't even appreciate what they have. They don't understand.
Oh, no,
that.
No. I think my son does. I posted on Twitter a while ago. He actually got into it with some friends at school about AV quality between streaming and
yeah, you
physical
said that.
Media.
Yeah.
So I think my son appreciates it. My daughter, not at all. She couldn't care less. So it's lost on her. My wife is happy that I finally have people to talk to about this stuff.
So is mine.
Yeah. I can leave her alone.
Yes. Yeah. So. They're the sounding board till you meet somebody that you can actually talk to.
Right.
And unfortunately for them, they're like, they do their best not to roll their eyes. And it's like,
oh, but, sure.
You know, and they're like, my wife, it pretty amazing at it. And that she shows interest. And then, but then you realize like, there's just no, they're not excited. They try to show interest.
Yeah.
Right.
But right.
After a while, you're like, why are you even faking this? I wouldn't fake it this long. Right?
Like, right. No, as yeah. I can't fake it for that long.
Let's go watch a movie. Okay. But did you see that? Did you hear that? Let me check this. Okay.
Yep. Oh yeah. I think I drive my wife and my kids too nuts that every time we sit down to watch a movie, I hit the little display button on my receiver just to ensure that it's playing in Atmos. Like it is every time, 100% of the time, it's in Atmos, but I have to check it every time just to make sure.
So I do too. What do you have for a receiver again?
That's an Onkyo, T or RZ840.
Okay. I have the Denon, and what's nice is it comes with an app. So
okay.
I can just, that's what I do. It's like everything so what's fun is I can open my app without having, I don't have all my stuff's in a closet anyways, separate. So I can't see my stuff away from when I'm in my theater.
Okay.
But like you, every single time I open that app, that's how I get my volume right. Because if I use the volume on my Harmony, I can adjust the volume past zero. There's no, I don't even know what I'm adjusting on my volume. Because I've turned off the display, so I don't see any on-screen display.
Okay.
I don't want any of that. I don't want, if in the middle of the movie, if say I'm watching a movie with my wife and she doesn't like the sound that loud, I'll tweak it down a little bit. But I don't want that little display to show up on my screen. So I shut all that off. If I really want to see it, I open the app. But what's cool on the Denon is I can set the app that when I use that slider for the volume, the max it'll go is zero. It just goes to reference.
Okay.
So I know I can't go past that. So I just slide that to zero. I wait for the sound to pop on the movie when the movie starts and be like, Atmos, good. We're getting Atmos. We're good. If I don't, I'm like, oh, crap. It didn't default to that. It didn't do this, didn't do that. Whatever you got to do. But you got to check it. You always have to check it.
Every time.
Yep. Because sometimes it doesn't default to that.
Right.
You know, or other times it might not even have it and you thought it did and you're like, oh, wait. And then you go on to online. You're like, why am I getting Atmos here? Hang on, everybody.
Yep. That sounds very familiar. Oh, yeah. I like that app. That's a good idea. I never even, I think my Onkyo can do that, actually.
It never even
dawned on me to try to adjust it on the phone to not mess up the screen.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I think if I didn't shut off on screen display, I'd still see the adjustments.
Right.
So what's nice is, yeah, once you have it on your phone, you could shut off all the on-screen display and the GUI and be like, boom, everything's on the phone and you're off and running. Great.
So now I've been wondering this for a while. I know you used to have an Onkyo and you switched to the Denon and you absolutely love your Denon.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What changed? What's the difference?
Honestly, I think at the time, the Onkyo I had, they didn't have Odyssey EQ. They didn't have Odyssey. Okay. That was in. So I had an Onkyo before that that I really loved that had Odyssey EQ or whatever it was called at the time. Sure, it was like room EQ or whatever, but it wasn't as advanced because that was pre Atmos.
Yeah.
And then I remember, I can't remember which movie it was I saw, but they had Atmos and I'm like, I need Atmos. So the first Atmos receiver that was available was an Onkyo that I could afford. I bought it, very early adopter, and that's what I had, but it didn't have a good room correction. I'm not even sure what it had for room correction, to be honest with you. I was just happy at what I had.
Yeah.
To have Atmos. So then, I've said on the podcast before, I had a guy out, I was looking at speaker upgrades and he came in, super honest guy. He could have sold me on anything. He could have sold me speakers. He could have pitched me the world and I would have just been like, much like this. I'm like, I was just happy to have somebody in my home looking at my system. I have a video guy, obviously most everybody knows that's listening, but for a while I have a projector guy, love him. And I trust them with everything projector wise, but I don't have a sound guy. Still kind of don't. I'm sure I could track this guy down again. But anyways, so I had him out, looked at my room. He's like, you've got great room treatments. Your room is great. Everything's great. You really don't need speakers. He goes, what you got to do is you got to upgrade your receiver. Because at the time, so the Onkyo I bought, it was capable of 7.7.1.4.
Yeah.
Okay. But it didn't have the amplification for it. You had to, it only had, I think, 7 channels of amplification. So I bought Emotiva, I want to say Gen 3, right? But of course, listen to AV Rant. Once you get in it, go down that rabbit hole. I'm like, all right, well, I was going to buy a 4-channel amp for the up, and I'm like, but then why are you going to waste good amplification on the over? And I'm like, all right, I'll buy a 5-channel amp, run my mains, and then use the receiver to power the overheads.
Right.
So that's what I did. So I'm like, all right, I'm thinking I got great sound now because I'm running amplification. I had all that in mind. So he says, get rid of your Emotiva. He goes, you don't need an amplifier. He goes, in this room, it's too small, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, just get this receiver here. It's got everything in it, which is the Denon that I have.
Yeah.
He goes, I can get you one. So I was like, absolutely, order me one. So he ordered me one up. But because of the way he did things, it was shipping. It was this. It was that. It took too long. It was like, I'll have it for you in like 6 weeks. I was like, can't wait that. I'm too excited. So I went on Amazon and I bought one. Had it delivered. His came in. I bought it off of him and shipped that one back to Amazon. Got my money back. You know what I mean?
yeah, absolutely.
It was fair for everybody. It literally, unopened box went back to Amazon. But I honestly, and I actually have paid more through him than I did on Amazon. I paid like $150 more. But I wanted to give him the business, because when I got that thing from Amazon and I ran the Room EQ, it was night and day. It was amazing. And what was fun was, and that's why I tell people all the time, like, when you learn your room, right? And like, you think, Mike, you don't have any experience, but you do. You have a room. You have how you built your room. I'm just sitting here looking at you now. This is audio only, but you've got sound treatments behind you. I've demoed your room. You know, I've been through your room with you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of experience in that room. You didn't just move into the high. I mean, if you just moved into the house and said, hey, I just moved into this place, I'd love to feature this room I got, that would be a little different, because you wouldn't know what you had. And maybe you're still passionate about it, but you know what you have there. You know why those things are in place. Your overheads, remember the cutouts? You had them in backwards. I mean, you've done all the things. You've made mistakes. You've learned from it. And like in my situation with that receiver, all those speakers were exactly the same. The room was exactly the same. The only thing I traded out was I got rid of an amplifier, a 5-channel amp, and I just put in simple receiver. Yes, it's a Denon, 9-channel amp, but it's that Room EQ. It made the difference. And that's literally going from either I'd have to look up which Onkyo I had at the time, but I don't remember off the top of my head. But if it had Room EQ, if it had any kind of Room EQ, it wasn't what the Odyssey is, right?
Okay.
So I'm thinking that has to be the difference maker. And the other thing is the gentleman that was in the house, he's like, this is just, it's just going to be cleaner. It's better circuitry. It's this, that, and the other thing. You're just going to get a better response out of these speakers.
Okay.
And again, keep in mind, I had him out to sell me speakers. And he was like, no, do this. And he goes, and I go, and of course, just like I've said with Jim, when I had the Lumigen installed and I'm like, what's my next upgrade? He was like, what's my next upgrade? He goes, well, then you go to a higher end speaker and then you get amplification. And he's like, Martin Logan's, he goes, but now you're talking a couple $1,000 per channel and because they require more power, that's why you need to get outside of the amplification that's in the receiver and blah, blah, blah. So he taught me these stuff, but that upgrade that he gave me there, I haven't even looked back. I'm like, and he also said, he goes, you don't even need that in this room. He goes, it'll be a little bit, it'll be slightly better, but that's what it is. So,
okay. So mainly it was room correction.
I think, I think, but again, like anything we do,
I mean, I'm not real taken with the, what is it? AccuEQ, I think is what Onkyo calls it.
Yeah. I think that is what it was. Yeah. It's
AccuEQ.
How old is your Onkyo?
Dirac or Dirac or however you say it, which is also supposed to be fantastic.
But so I had a new listener today, a new listener reach out to me about his, he has Integra and has Dirac, and he wasn't crazy about the sound. He actually turned off the room correction and he thinks it sounds better. And he's like, he put it out on a forum, sent me the link, and he wasn't getting any feedback. So basically I read his question on the forum and I was like, well, I said, it sounds like this maybe isn't the receiver for you. And it's because from my understanding, I've never experienced Dirac, but from what I understand, it's a little bit more hands-on than than Odyssey is. Odyssey is kind of just like, it's super simple. You just, and I know it, I've experienced that. I don't know. Have you ever used Odyssey EQ?
I have not. No.
Okay. So literally it comes with the microphone, right? And there's a jack on the front of your receiver and for that microphone. as soon as you plug that microphone in, and they give you like, I don't know, like 20 feet long cable to run this thing around your room. As soon as you plug that in, it goes into the Odyssey EQ mode for room correction to get all your settings. You don't have to touch anything. You don't have to touch the remote. You don't have to touch anything. Wow. Okay. It automatically goes into that. And then now I bought the $20 app for my iPad. So that makes it a little simpler. Once you do plug it in, then you've got to use the remote and you'll say, okay, set this set. And but everything comes right up on the screen for you. And it shows you with a diagram, everything, where to put the microphone, this, that, and the other thing. So it's super simple. And I mean, it's kind of like foolproof. So, and it does a really good job. And from all the reviews I've read and listening to AV Rant guys and stuff, and it's like Dirac maybe is a little better, but Dirac seems to me like a little bit more hands-on and allows you to flavor your room accordingly, okay. which you can still do in Odyssey. You can go in on the app and you can change the curves and stuff if you want to, but you can also just get it as accurate as it thinks it should be. That's what I go for. So that's what I do. My buddy does the same thing with his, my buddy John in Texas. He's done it. It's just a little bit more, you know, easy to use and just as quote unquote accurate as any of the others. Room EQ Wizard, obviously you get into even more depth. I've thought of experimenting with that, but those are all rabbit holes that right now I'm having fun watching movies. So
yeah,
maybe someday. Are you thinking about getting something else? Wizard? Oh yeah.
Sorry. But, I'm still learning. I go to AV Nirvana and go on the forums and the threads, and I'm trying to learn. And I actually put up absorption panels at my first reflection point. And I ran Room EQ Wizard to see if I could tell a difference. And I know now that I ran the wrong test. I was supposed to use a waterfall graph or something, and I just used the regular bar graph.
Yeah.
Whatever. So when I saw that there was no change in my graph, it's probably because I was using the wrong type of test. So I'm gonna have to re-experiment with that. But that's the sort of stuff, like it's so scientific. And it's just way above my pay grade, so it takes me a while to catch up to it.
Which is zero, right? We're all getting nothing. You're like, this is above my pay grade. Well, yeah, you started at zero, so okay.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
We're all getting nothing. But that's, and you know what I find, and I know you can, we all can. The funny thing is what's fascinating about this hobby is we're all chasing a unicorn because we're chasing something we don't even know if it's right.
Yep.
Right? That's why we all want to get to hear other people's stuff. And then when you hear it, you're like, theirs might be better, but wait a minute, what if that's wrong? But you just like it better.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you went into George Lucas's THX certified home theater in his home. Right. Yeah. And I don't want to say who. I've mentioned him on the podcast, but I've spoken to somebody who's been in George Lucas's home theater. And it's that's the idea is like if you know somebody that's done that and been in there, you're like, I know they know what they're talking about. They've worked there. They've done that. And you're like, holy crap. Okay. All right. You did that. Good to know. But that's why we're all chasing that. So when we make these adjustments, you're like, I like the way that sounds, but is that right? Is that the best? Is it the best it could be? So all we're doing is we're comparing, right? And I mean, at the end of the day, my end goal was Dolby Cinema, what I heard there, I was trying to duplicate in my home, right? That's, or I should say, that's my most recent goal. When I was younger, it was, that didn't exist. So I was comparing it to other places where I thought I heard what was really good. But for sound, that's what I was trying to compare. I mean, how about yourself? How do you know you have something good? Which is a real tough question.
The best demo that I ever heard, and this is what I always try to match this one experience. There was a AV store, home theater store called Barrett's Home Theater. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was nationwide or not. It's definitely in the Chicago area. But I went to a Barrett's Home Theater. This would have been like 2002, 2001, something around there. And they were playing, I was in a dedicated, one of their demo rooms, you know, door shut, mm-hmm. all acoustically treated. I, at the time, had no idea about any of that stuff. I thought it was just a regular room with speakers. But they played Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring. It was the scene, the fire monster guy. I can't think of what his name is. They're going through the caves.
Oh, yeah, Gandalf. The dragon that, yeah, and Gandalf, yeah. You shall not pass.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You shall not, and Gandalf takes his
boom.
Staff, and yep. Oh, my God, the place shook. Like, it was, and the surrounds, I mean, I just sat there and was in awe. It was, that was, like, I experienced that. I was like, all right, that's it. That's the goal. I got to get to that point. And over the years, over the last 20 years, whatever it's been, I think I've even, through my memory, have made that even better than what it really was. Probably realistically was.
Yeah.
And even to this day, I'm positive that my two SVS subs are probably putting out more than whatever was in that room that day because of 20 years of technological progress. But if I pop in that scene on Lord of the Rings, it still doesn't match what I remember it being.
Right.
And realistically, it could be better. It probably is better in my home right now. But that's my, what do you want to, the gold standard. That's what I'm trying to reach. I'm trying to get to that point. I don't think I've ever been to a Dolby Cinema. I saw Captain Marvel in IMAX, and I honestly wasn't that impressed with the IMAX theater. It was just really loud.
Right.
It was too loud for me.
So, actually. Yeah, so you know what's funny is IMAX, I think, is great for picture. I do know that there are certain, and it's limited, there are limited IMAX theaters that are amazing, that have, they have like Dolby Cinema quality sound. But IMAX has, I don't want to say diversified, but it's not what it used to be where every IMAX theater was equal. There, mm-hmm. It's a little bit different now. And I agree with you. We have an IMAX theater. We have a couple of them in this state. And one of the original ones is actually at the Boston Museum of Science. And we used to go to that one when we were kids on field trips. And you go in and that was the big deal because that's where you got that big screen. So that's like one of the originals. And they have I don't even think they have that great of sound. I haven't been to that one in a while. But the one that I've been to frequently here is at a Jordan's furniture store, and it's a great IMAX theater. But I agree with you. The sound feels muddied or blended. It doesn't feel as clean as a Dolby Cinema does. Dolby Cinemas are, I mean, really, they're really just set up for you to be like, wow, Dolby's awesome. I mean, it is perfect, right? It's an advertisement. I mean, it's a Dolby Cinema, for God's sakes. You're not going to screw it up. It's Dolby. So those are, I mean, that's where you get the punch in the chest. They actually have transducers in the seats too, to give you even more of a feel. So you feel it in your chest. You feel it in the seat. You get that rumble. It gives you that cleaner sound. I think I don't know this for a fact, but just knowing how that works in our own theaters, they do a lot to separate the bass from the rest of the channels so that you can get that clean sound, as opposed to, like, if you listen to Lee Overstreet on AV Rant when he got his SVS subs, he thought he was running clean bass and really nice bass in his giant tower speakers with 15-inch subs on the side. Yes, you're getting bass, but that's that muddied feel, right? Because the bass isn't equally distributed in the room. Like in your theater, your SVS subs are placed appropriately. They're calibrated right. Everything you get, and it's created. They're doing their job. The speakers are doing their job. So you get that cleaner sound. I feel like IMAX is more like they have a bunch of towers.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And that's what causes it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, my basement, I mean, my theater sounds better. Like anytime I watch a movie in the actual theater, I always think, oh, I can't wait to hear this at home, because it always sounds better at home. Yeah. But granted, I've never been to a Dolby Cinema. So, I mean, I'm sure that would change things.
It might not. It doesn't for me anymore.
No?
No. No, I think it's better than Dolby Cinema. Because once I reach that base level with my SVS, what happens is, it's not that it's necessarily better, right? What it is it's a more intimate environment. So those rear channels, your surround channels, your overhead channels, they're literally focused. That room is designed for me. Right.
Okay.
Whereas you go into any theater, what seat is designed for, you know, it's designed for the room. It's not designed for you. So you're getting in your own cinema, you're getting your own more intimate environment that's designed for you. So it's more about how everything's like, and you're more in focus there. It's just you, it's this. So you start to hear sounds that you didn't hear when you were in the theater. And I've seen movies in the theater multiple times and then gone home when it finally does come out and be like, wow, that pan wasn't even close to what I got in the theater. And it's like, because it's so much more distinct or smooth or even evident.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot of times it's not really the theater's fault. It's just, it's a giant room and those speakers are further away and who knows where you're going to be sitting.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I clearly remember sitting in the theater for the Batman thinking, oh, I can't wait till I get this at home. This is going to, like, it sounded good in the theater, but man, I can't wait to get it home. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we talked a little about the Batman, didn't we? Didn't we talk like when we were waiting for Ara? I can't remember if that was one of the conversations.
Maybe we did. I don't know, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you see, did you read Ralph Potts review that came out today?
I didn't. I have not checked that yet. No.
I saw
that you put that Todd Anderson was upset he didn't go to the dark side. I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm like, a kick out of that.
I got a kick out of it because I don't think I knew Todd didn't like it. And Todd and I talk all the time. And I'm like, why didn't we? Because I know when it dropped on Kaleidoscape, I watched it. I'm sure I talked to him about it. But I when he said come into the, I'm like, I honestly, if he doesn't like that movie, I'm shocked, because not that he doesn't like it. I understand, but I would have thought him and I would have had that conversation, and I was surprised he didn't. But reading Ralph's review, he does a great job. Mike from AV Nirvana did a great job as well. Mike was a little bit more down the middle than Ralph. And I love reading all these people's different reviews, because it's not necessarily that I want somebody to agree with me. I want to hear, like, if somebody doesn't like it, they're really good at telling you why they don't like it. And Mike liked it, but he pointed out, I recommend reading both of them, but Mike pointed out like why he didn't like it, but he says, oh, I thought this, and I can't argue with him. I thought it was great, but everybody has agreed, whether you like the movie or not, that the picture and sound is just absolutely stunning at home in 4K. And Ralph actually liked the movie too. And what was fun about Ralph is he didn't see it in the theater.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then he didn't want to see it streaming because he didn't want to ruin it. So he waited for the 4K. So it's a really interesting review. It really is. Where I saw it in the theater, I watched it streaming, I watched it on the Kaleidoscape. I haven't seen the disc, but I have to imagine it's relatively the same as the Kaleidoscape.
Yeah.
He liked it. So it's a fun read the way he gauges everything. But
check that out.
Have you seen
it
streaming?
Ralph's reviews forever. He's like, I don't know. I just recently got turned on to Mike at AV Nirvana, but yeah, Ralph, I feel like I can't remember not reading his reviews.
Mm.
I feel like he's been doing them forever and I've been reading them forever. So yeah, you said something in one of your podcasts a while back that I was like, wow, DJ's got a real good point. You said,
it's a rare time, so please remember it.
You said you don't read any reviews until after you watch the movie yourself.
Yes.
So that you can make up your own mind, mm-hmm. and you don't have anyone right. influence you.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's I liked that. I took that one to heart. So I've been trying to do that myself, actually.
Yeah, because
I used to always read the reviews before mm-hmm. watching any movie. But now, no, I want to make up my own mind first. And then, so that was very insightful of you, DJ.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
But insightful. It's well, it came from like everything we do. It comes from the experience of over the years, I was reading reviews on stuff and I couldn't wait for a movie to come out. And whether I read it in a magazine and then I was like, I'd read a review and if they gave it a great review, I'd run out and buy it. Right. Mm-hmm. And be like, I just have to own Casper. On Laserdisc. I didn't even have kids when that came out. Why the hell do I own Casper? You know why? Because I read a review that has a great surround experience or something. Oh. I guarantee you, that's what I don't remember exactly. But why the hell would I buy Casper on Laserdisc? Well, because of that. Because we're all that, you know, what was it? The Seinfeld joke about like why like men are, it's like, why men can be homophobic, and it's a Seinfeld joke. And he goes, cause we're all a sucker for a good sales pitch. And it like, and it's true. You're like, you're like, hey, what do you think of this? I don't know. I think it's great. Me too. Well, give me one, you know? All right, cool. All right. I'll buy that. And what, so over the years I kept what I was finding that when I read a bad review, I'd go and watch a movie and be like, oh yeah, I see what they're saying there, but now I'm not giving it fair shake. And mm-hmm. then, so I actually experimented for a few years of read a review, watch a movie, and then on another movie, I'd watch the movie, then read the review and be like, oh my God, either I'm the same or I'm different. And it's like, so what I found was by doing that, I would find that, hey, wait a minute, this is my actual opinion of the movie. And when I found people like in a case where Ralph agrees with me, I'd be like, all right, it's validation. But if I found people that didn't like it, I'd be like, yeah, but I did hear something different than they heard. So doesn't mean they're wrong, but right. I experienced it because there's stuff that happens in movies. And I've heard this from listeners. I point stuff out to people and they're like, I've never heard that before.
Oh,
guess what? It's been there the whole entire time. Right. So just like negativity in a movie, like bad scenes or bad aspects of it have been there. But until somebody points it out to you, maybe you're just so enthralled with the movie that you glossed over it and you were fine with it. So don't let somebody else ruin that experience, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, it's like, it's tough. It's tough. You know, that's, but it, especially in this day and age with so much information, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
To avoid that stuff, but do my
best. I'm one of those people. I have absolutely no problem turning off any sort of intelligence and just, like, Moonfall. I'm in. Let's watch it. This is great.
That one there, I'll be honest with you, that one was tough, though. That one was tough for me to turn off my intelligence. I am not, I haven't been back to it. I love Roland Emmerich. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Steve George, my buddy, he knows I love Midway. He hates Midway. Yeah. Right. but here's the thing. It, and again, like anything else, and I've tried to express this to Steve, I'm like, you do understand that was a labor of love for Roland Emmerich. And that he, I think it was his great uncle or something, died of the same thing as, what's it, Best, what's his name? The character in the movie died of, or got sick of. You saw Midway?
Did you see Midway? Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember.
He gets the
Best lung thing.
Yeah. Roland Emmerich's, like, great uncle or something. It's in the extras. It's in the audio commentary.
Okay.
He wanted to make that movie because his great uncle got the exact same thing and died of it.
Oh, wow.
In the same way.
Jeez.
Because the pilots would get that. So he always wanted to make this movie, and he wanted to make it in the 90s, but it was too expensive because the CGI was going to be ridiculous. So he ended up waiting, and he made it for literally a third of the price when he was finally able to make it. So I had already liked the movie before I heard that. But then when I heard that, I'm like, oh, man, that's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That has a whole nother level.
But that's another case. But Moonfall, I mean, the moon fell. Mike, the moon fell. You don't bump. You don't, I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
I mean, it's in the title.
The moon fell, and oh, by the way, while it was falling, people got off.
It's.
Like, I got to get back to Earth. Where's the escalator? Look. I'm like, come on.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
But you're right. It's an amazing home theater experience. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's like the moon's coming right through your room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I feel like you got expectations though. Like, clearly you're not going to take this movie seriously. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Like, it's almost like Sharknado. Like, come on. It's.
Yeah, but that's not a home theater experience. I don't even watch Sharknado.
Well, no, I truth be told, I've never seen it either, but. But I mean, like, a tornado made of sharks.
Right.
And the moon falling to Earth where you can just jump off the moon and land on the Earth. I put those pretty comparable, you know?
No. I get you. I do. But that one there, that was probably the toughest for me. And I've watched some what people consider bad movies. I like them. I like, did you hear my podcast on Hurricane Heist?
I did not. No.
Okay. I love that movie. That movie there was like, it's in Atmos. I believe it's Atmos. It's object based. I know that. And it's like Twister on steroids.
Okay.
But the story, actually more grounded than Moonfall, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, there's some ridiculous stuff that goes on that you're like, no, they're not superheroes. Why are they that guy would have been cut in half by that cable. Why did he just catch it? And it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff where you're like, it's just ridiculous, but it is so much fun in your theater. My buddy John that on my other podcast, that he is one that we laugh all the time because he's super, He's like, huh, that would never happen. And he loves to do that stuff. So when I was done with that movie, as soon as I was done, I was like recording the podcast. I went on my phone, I bought it, and I sent it to him. And I didn't tell him, but I was like, I knew he would never buy it. But I'm like, this is that good of a movie. I want you to have it. So he get like a few days later, he's like, Amazon delivered it. He took a picture of it on his doorstep. And he's like, where did this come from? I go, I don't know. Just put it in and shut up. And he said, he's like, yeah, you're right. It's awesome in the theater. He goes, but it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's more grounded than Moonfall. But it is. It's an absolute thrill ride of a movie. And the one I'm blown away by right now that I'm actually, it's up there with the Batman for home theater wise, picture and sound, is Morbius. I'm blown away by it. It is really good.
I did not see that in the theater. I'm excited to see it. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, so I would probably, honestly, I'd probably like the movie anyway just because it's a Spider-Man thing.
Yeah. I wish he was in it. I wish they had dropped him in a little bit. But it's, I like the movie, honestly. I've heard a lot of people are, there are some flaws with it because there's some, it looks like they were told to edit stuff out. Like there's things that maybe they could have elaborated on more.
Yeah.
But the story is there, but there's a few things like I'm hoping for an extended version someday where they can, why did he do that? Like, why does this character do, what's his motivation? Like, there's a couple of things where you're like, I don't even know why that guy's like that or why that guy is whatever. I'll talk to you after you've seen it. But the home theater part, the picture is amazing. It's actually the opposite of the Batman, where the Batman is so dark, right? And it's like the picture on that is just, it's an HDR, you know, basically gauntlet. I mean, this is very tough for HDR. It's like, have you seen Game of Thrones season 8?
I have not seen a single episode of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Not a single one.
Okay. So in season 8, they had this, the third episode of season 8, they have the, it's called The Long Night, and the entire episode takes place at night, and it's this giant battle. But it sent like kind of the home theater Twitterverse like nuts because it was all streamed. So everybody's watching in vivid mode. So all their blacks are really bright. And it was like, if you weren't calibrated and it didn't, streaming was tough, even with a calibrated television.
Yeah.
But then when you got it in 4K with the HDR, you're like, oh my God, it's so crystal clear. It's so great because it's like the Batman. Every scene practically in the Batman is a dark scene with a slight highlight here or there. Well, Morbius is the exact opposite. Great blacks, nice bright colors, vibrant colors. And just like, I mean, you think of Jared Leto's black hair and then the background and the contrast between the two. And then you got some bright colors. I'm thinking of this one scene where there's just a ladder in the background, like a library ladder that you roll back and forth.
Sure.
It's just, and it's red, but it's so vibrant. It's so nice. And it's like, there's another scene where him and his buddy are sitting in the park and it's a close up on their face and the detail because of the disease they have, the scales in their skin and just the texture of the skin is so bad, right? But then you look at the background and it's like nice, vibrant. It's all blurred. The background's all out of focus, but it's green leaves and the grass of the of Central Park and all of this stuff. And you're like, just the contrast between their dry white skin. And then it's just so well shot that every scene there's something to, like, just like eye candy. And every scene is like, your room is engaged, absolutely engaged. It's an amazing, there's another scene. Jared Leto and his buddy, they're walking down the streets of New York. And you know what it's like in public when you're talking to, like, say you're talking to your wife and everybody around you is talking. You could be at a carnival, right? And there's, everything's going on, but you hear your wife perfectly because mm-hmm. you focus in on the tones of her voice, right? Sure. Everything else is drowned out, but it's all still there. Somehow, this scene here, I can't wait to review it someday and be like, this scene here, timestamp it and everything. They're walking down the street and they found a way to give you their voices perfectly to you, but it still feels like everything around you, it's like you're, they do it for you. They focus on their voice, but everything around you, it's like you're on the streets of New York. To the point that you're trying to put them out of focus and hear the rest of the room, and you really can't because they're, yeah. but it's just so amazing and it's so loud that you're like, how am I hearing their voice so good? It's so awesome.
That's awesome.
And that's just one, like the entire movie's like that. And by the way, Morbius, you know, he uses sonar.
Sure.
Yeah. So he's like, when he goes to hear, he puts out this pulse and it goes, whoa, 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 and it like goes around your room.
Oh my God.
And that, there's one where he's using a racquetball when he first realizes he has it. Oh my God, Mike. He throws the racquetball. He's like, whoa, 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 and he's in his lab and it just starts. You hear the you hear it bouncing off the walls around your room, right? And then he throws the racquetball and he's using that. And by the way, now you get into the picture, his ears are like, when he uses it, his ears get these like strings in them, like a harp type thing, or so that he can pick up the sound. So you're focused in on that, but then you're hearing this, everything in the background's getting this wavy. It's an amazing picture, but then the sound is awesome because you're hearing this racquetball go around your room with an echo to it that's going all around your room, and all the while you're getting a whoa, 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 whoa. I was like, it's awesome. It's awesome.
I'm assuming you have this on Kaleidoscape?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it just came out Tuesday on Kaleidoscape.
Okay, because it's not out on disc until June or something, right?
Yeah, later next month. Yeah, it's out it's out on streaming. I haven't had the opportunity to compare the stream yet. I haven't downloaded that. I've just been having the movies just... It's
that sounds awesome. I can't wait for that.
It is. It is. Yeah, and it's like, it's funny because Todd said, he goes, I'm going to have to pass on this one. He goes, but I may just buy it for the audio video. I was like, well, I'll give you some timestamps, buddy, because you'll watch a couple of them and be like, well, I might as well finish the movie now. And he goes, I don't know about that. I'm like, I do. It's awesome. It is awesome.
Just from the couple of scenes you described, I can't wait. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
There's actually another one that I could go on and on, but there's another echo scene. There's a couple of echo scenes, and I don't mean echo like that. I mean like talking echoes that I've never heard in a movie before. I'll save that one for later. I've never heard it. You know how much I like little crap like that. Like, did you hear my Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yes.
Episode. And when when he's grunting and it like echoes down the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, stuff like that. Little tiny things like that. Isn't that cool that they put that in movies? Cool. It's awesome.
The best part is I never really picked up on stuff like that until you started pointing it out. So now I will watch movies and I'm like, I always just kind of took it in as a whole.
Right.
You know? And now, that pan was cool. And like, I'm just, I pick up on little things now and I'm enjoying movies a lot more because of it.
Oh, thanks.
So yeah, that is.
And the other benefit is you're getting extra eye rolls from everybody. As you go, did you hear that pan? They're like, oh, crap.
Oh, God. Here he goes again.
He's going to hit rewind. Oh, there it is. We're hearing it again. Yep. There's the back button. Okie dokie. Oh, yeah, I heard it the first time and the second.
Yeah. I watch a lot of movies I start them at like 10 o'clock at night on a Friday after the wife and kids go to sleep. That's my main movie time where I can just sit down by myself and watch so that I'm not bothered because most of the time they don't sit with, unless it's a Marvel movie, my kid will watch Marvel movies with me. But for the most part, I'm sitting by myself late at night watching them that way. So
how is your theater to the rest of the house? Like, I know it's your basement, but like for sound wise, like, can you really crank it? Like, and they can, they're fine, or how does it affect the rest of your house?
The our sitting room, whatever you want, living room, not the room that doesn't have the TV is directly above the theater, and that's where my wife likes to sit and work if she has to work at home, or she'll just sit and play on her phone or whatever, and it drives her absolutely nuts when she's directly above the theater. She I'll be down here, I'll get a text message, turn it down, or you know, whatever.
How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I am. I'll be 42 next month.
Oh, all right. See. Oh, that's right. You told me you were the same age. That's right. You said we're the same age, and I'm like, no, we're not.
That's right. I'm 52. About 10 years between us.
10 years. Yeah, but you're still young. By the time you're my age, she'll stop texting you. Don't worry. It'll pass. It'll pass because she knows it doesn't do any good.
Right.
You turn it down, and she's like, "Oh, okay." Then you turn it back up.
Yep. But no, if she's all the way upstairs in bed, she can tell I'm watching a movie, but it's not enough to bother her, so she can sleep through it and all that stuff. And
that's good.
So yeah. It's
so what do you have?
Everything shake, you know, the doors shake, and it's obnoxious. She actually makes me, she'll, "Mike, get up here. I want you to hear this." So I'll replay it. Like, I think it was, she had me put Blade Runner 2049 or whatever. Yep. She had me put that in. She's like, "Put it in and come upstairs." Okay, so I put it in. I come and sit down upstairs. Oh, my God. It sounds like one of those teenagers' cars where they got the bait, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds terrible upstairs. You come down here and it's fantastic.
Right.
But upstairs, it's, oh, so I can see where she's getting frustrated. But
upstairs, it sounds like IMAX.
yeah there you go,
it's all muddied.
Yep,
my house is the same way. My okay. house is, I think you're actually, from your description, yours is a little better and probably attributed to you have the suspended ceiling. That's probably helping a little bit.
Yeah.
I see you have that beam going through a middle of your room.
Yeah,
so
right, yeah, like that. Yep.
Dead so that's center. That's probably getting some reverb, you know. Yeah. That's probably vibrating the house a little bit. When I built my theater, that was literally 20 years ago, and I had no idea about, my idea of soundproofing was, you know, double sheetrock and some insulation. That was it.
Yeah.
But everything's, like, my ceiling's screwed right to the floor joists.
Okay. So,
when the ceiling goes boom, the floor joists go boom, which means the floor goes boom, which means everything above the floor goes boom, right?
Yep.
So, you know, it's my wife's very on board with, you know, an addition where I soundproof and do all that and separate the room. She's fine. She's good with it. She's like, "I just got to turn the TV up." Cause it's hard to hear the TV in my living room when I'm cranking it, but.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, my son once, I wish I could remember the movie. It doesn't really matter. I promote enough movies, but my SVS subwoofer shook the speakers. my son was in bed on the second floor and stuff started falling off his shelf.
Oh my God.
From a movie. That it was something really? Like it was something recently. Do you remember what was the one? You might not have heard it. I don't want to assume, but it was the one where I said this was the battery killer. Oh. Did we lose him?
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's okay.
I lost you for a second. What'd you say?
I said, that's okay. Little gap there. It was the one where I said it's a battery killer, because the bass was so, it shook so much that it, that my Harmony remote kept lighting up.
Oh.
You remember that?
I remember you talking about it.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Kaleidoscape.
It wasn't
Pacific Rim.
Lines, was it?
Pacific Rim.
Was okay, yeah. Yeah, Pacific Rim. Okay.
I think it was. Let me look it up. I'm looking up my, let me see. Home, AKA The Battery Killer. Yeah, Pacific Rim. It was that one. Because, and that one's like a demo from beginning to end.
Right? Oh, right.
It's ridiculous. But the bass in that movie is just, my son was like, it shook stuff off my shelf, and he's all the way up. He's same end of the house, literally two floors up, right above that room. But two floors up. And he's like, shook stuff off his shelf, little models or something he had. I was like, we just laughed. Nobody gets mad.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, that's cool.
That's okay. Awesome, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. No, I got a Pacific Rim story. Actually, just this past weekend, my daughter had her 13th birthday. It was the family birthday party. So my siblings are over, and they could care less about home theater. But I want to talk about it, and I want to show off. You know, I want to show off what I got. So the party's been going on for a while. We had lunch, and it actually lasted long enough that now it's time to eat dinner. And we didn't have anything planned for dinner. My siblings just stayed that late. So my wife and my sister-in-law ran to grab pizza. And while they were gone, I was like, oh, I'm going to turn something on nice and loud down in the basement so that the siblings that are still here will be like, oh, hey, what is that? Let's go check that out. I throw Pacific Rim in.
Oh, no.
And I turn it up. And I come upstairs just waiting for them to be like, what is that? What is going on? Not a peep. Not a word. They couldn't have cared less. Like, man, I can't.
Really?
Stuff was shaking. Stuff was, I mean, it was going like, oh my God. And they didn't think twice. They didn't think anything of it. Like, man,
all
I want to do is get you guys down here and just talk about it and show it off and
you
whatever.
Try to be subtle and no, I mean, I don't think everybody's ever
not
used
so subtle.
Right. I don't think everybody has ever used the term subtle and Pacific Rim at the same time, but hey, it's a first for everything. But yeah, you try to be subtle and do that.
It's like nothing.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm just sitting there picturing you standing there and like that look. What I'm seeing is the look on my son's face when he was like 5 years old and we had people over the house and he runs upstairs and he puts on my father-in-law's police uniform that he had given him,
okay,
like the shirt, and then he put on the blue pants and he had the actually adult hat. So there's a 5 year old standing there and too big of a shirt and an adult hat. And then, but he's doing this look now. It's an audio only podcast, so only you could see it, but he's doing this look like like waiting for people. And then he looked at my wife and he goes, how come nobody's asking why there's a policeman standing over here? So that's what that same look and everything. I'm picturing you standing in the kitchen, like, why isn't anybody asking about the noise?
Yep.
See, that's now,
what happened. Yes.
Now, this is why you've got to find out if that Onkyo has the app, because what you do is you'd be pulling up the app in the kitchen and being like, oh, yeah.
Back up a little louder.
Stupid asses. Here you go. I'm going to bass that. I'm going to punch that bass up a little bit and your sneakers are going to fall off. Here you go. You think that's funny? And you can.
Now you're going to say something.
Yeah,
about it.
Exactly. why is the kitchen falling apart?
Yeah.
And then finally, your wife's going to yell, would somebody say something to Mike so he can turn that damn thing down?
Just make him happy, please.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody go look at it. Say it's cool and we can go back to normal.
Yep. That's all I want. Just say it's cool.
A little that's acknowledgement. All that hard work down there tinkering. Jeez. Come on.
My brother's into home theater. Not quite as much as I am. But he's got a pretty nice setup himself. But he doesn't nerd out over it quite as much as I do. So I can kind of talk to him about it, but I think he kind of rolls his eyes at me too. I think I'm a little extreme for his taste.
So I have a friend like that as well. Now, did he build his own home theater or did you?
No, he did it.
Oh, that's cool.
He's actually the reason I got into it in the first, one of one of the reasons I got into it in the first place.
Don't you love it when somebody hands you the baton and you're like, boom! And they're like, oh yeah. Wow, I did not expect that. Whoops.
Oh, yeah. No, he, back when we were still living with mom and dad, he got, I don't know, it was a nice Sony TV at the time. I mean, it was, I don't know, 27 inches, whatever. 27 inch Sony.
Yeah.
But it was pretty nice. And he got one of the very first DVD players that, you know.
Yep.
And I was like, man, that's pretty cool. Like, I thought that was pretty sweet. And so him getting that stuff got me interested in it. And then, like you said, I just took the baton and he stayed with it. He's still in it. Yeah. He still likes it. But he doesn't nerd out over it like I do. So he's got 75-inch Sony in his basement. He's got some SVS. He's got the Prime Pinnacle speakers. He's got Prime Center Channel. He's got a nice setup down there. It's pretty cool. So
like that sounds like he nerds out pretty good. Like he knows his stuff.
He does his research when he's making purchases.
I was gonna say you don't trip into all that.
Right, right. He knows what he's buying when he's buying something. He's gonna get the nice stuff. But I don't like he doesn't do like Rumi Q Wizard. He doesn't.
Okay.
You know, like that. He doesn't. I don't know. Like nerd out. I don't know how else to put it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Does he get into scenes or movies? He's gonna spend his money,
he's gonna research and do something nice with it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so does he like get into like scenes and move like, or is he just like, because there are those people that. It's like they like the stuff, they have the means, and then they're just like, let's set up a nice theater, and that's it. End of story. They put the movie in, and they go, this is nice. They watch a movie, but they don't take it to the next level of, like, somebody like yourself that, like you just said, like, oh, Deej, I never heard that stuff till you pointed it out. Well, that's not just a credit. You're not just complimenting me, but it's you sought that out. Right. You like that stuff. So that's why you listen to my podcast, where is your brother's like, no, I just want a nice environment to watch a movie, and end of story. Yeah, he doesn't really care about how great that environment is and how much it can do. He just knows that he has a good environment.
Yeah, that's pretty much on the nose. Yeah. I was over there last fall, right after he got his Prime Pinnacles. And just to hear him, because I'd never heard him before, and he put in the race scene from Ready Player One.
Yeah.
And
great scene.
When, the main character, I can't think of his name. When he shuts.
I've watched it like three times since I got the
game escape.
You had to say that. I was like, Percival.
Thank you. Yes. When Percival, when he shut his car door. I heard a little extra extra click or something that I don't hear out of my clip speakers. I heard it in the SVS. And I pointed it out to my brother, and he's like, you would notice something like that?
Yep.
But yeah, I noticed something like that. Yes. I think you hit the nail on the head. He likes the experience. He likes the movie. He likes all that stuff, but he not necessarily the nitty gritty of all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he just, it doesn't mean it's like bad. It just, he has the environment. He just doesn't really, he doesn't care to appreciate how great the, he doesn't care to investigate further. That's it. It's good. It's great. That's awesome.
Right. And yeah, like you said, it's not bad. He loves movies. He loves watching movies. It's
right.
He's just, you know, he also has a 2-year-old little girl who runs him ragged, so he's worried about being a dad too, you know. What I mean? Like, so
if he has a LaserDisc player, I have Casper he can borrow.
I like that.
I've actually known people in the past that have had these great theaters, like equivalent to ours, that you're like, and they watch old movies. They just want a cinema to watch like Casablanca in the old form, like older, old-timey movies, and just be like, just to be able to take these in better than they could ever take them in the past. And it's like, all that, you know, it's not, like, I love them for the Marvel. I love them for the explosion. I want my room to go boom. I'm mm-hmm. not really, you know, if I'm going to watch a comedy, I'll go watch that in my living room or something, right? I do like seeing these older movies now. They're coming out in 4K, you know, like, what you call it, Ten Commandments, and you got, I almost said Ishtar, but no, not Ishtar. my mind's going blank, but you know what I mean? All these, like Psycho, doing Psycho that I did last year, and that looked amazing in black and white. And in DTS:X, it was awesome. You're like, that's insane. And to see all these movies in a way that probably has never been experienced before. And it's a lot of fun. And
yeah,
but I think even somebody like your brother, maybe they don't appreciate the way we do, but they still do appreciate it, you know, because that's why that's why he wanted to get what he had and doesn't want to just watch on a regular TV and just sit there and watch it with a soundbar, you know. So that's cool.
Oh, yeah. But no, yeah, because of that little extra click that I heard in the SVSs, now I'm like, oh.
Rabbit hole.
I need new speakers. Yep.
Well, what does he have for a receiver?
He's got an Onkyo. It's a 7.2. It does not have the pre-out, so he wants to upgrade it because right now he's maxed out. He's at 5.1.2, and he's maxed out.
He can't pre-out to get any more, like, Atmos or anything?
Nope. Wow. The receiver doesn't have pre-outs on it.
Okay.
So, yeah, he said he's looking at upgrading his receiver. So...
What's yours? Sell them yours, and then.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah, those are why I was asking you about the whole Denon Onkyo thing, is because I want a Denon. I just wasn't sure what you got for the extra money. You know what I mean? Because my Onkyo, it's 9.9. I had to get the external amp to get the 4 Atmos. But still, it's a 9.1 or 9.2, whatever you want to call it. And it was like $600.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Denon equivalent is $1,600.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I was like, well, what do I get for that extra $1,000?
I haven't heard I haven't heard your Onkyo. Like I said, my previous Onkyo was whenever it came out, 2015. Something like that. Whenever Atmos came out, I could look it up. I have it written down somewhere in one of my notes. So I can't say with any kind of knowledge, but like I said to somebody today about the Integra, I was like, just go on Amazon. If you have the means, just you buy it, try it out, run it. If you don't like it or don't hear a difference, you ship it. It's Amazon. Just ship it back.
That's
what I've done. I literally did that with the Denon, and it was like, if it didn't work out, I mean, obviously it worked out great for me. But I still shipped it back, and that's what I would do. If you're interested in getting something else, try it out that way. Run room EQ. You have like something ridiculous, like 45 days or something, 90 days or to return stuff on Amazon. I know it's late in the year now. It's too a little early now, but when a real nice time for home theater people to do that stuff is like October, because they extend their returns till January 31st. Oh, yeah,
for the holidays.
Yeah. So you could buy like a whole theater and test it out for 2 months. And then just after Christmas be like, nope, they didn't like the gift. All right. And they're so big, they don't care. Right? Feel bad. They don't care. And they're just going to box it up and sell it to somebody else. So I would try that out. Definitely look for something. I think it's worth it to... and that's because that's what was recommended to me, is get the receiver that has all the amps. Don't bother with pre-outs. It's not worth. I know you already have an amp. I had an amp, but they were like, nope, it's cleaner. Nice. Boom. One and done. And it's just, I paid, I think mine was 20. I think it was like $2,400 when I bought it, but for my buddy bought pretty much the same one like a year later or something, or 2 years later. And it actually has, what does it have that mine doesn't have? His has one other feature that I don't even need, but I knew it had something else, but he got it for like $1,400 on sale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you can find them, especially go on Amazon, look. I know, you know what channels you need. Just look for that amplification. Mm-hmm. And chances are, if you're getting anything with four overheads, you're going to have, it's going to have room EQ. You're going to be able to get the room EQ 32, whatever it is, the app. And yeah, that's $20, but it's just a if you have an iPad, it's nicer. You could do it on your iPhone too. Just makes it a little bit easier. And if you're like me, which sounds like you are, you're going to want it. Like, I do it every couple of months just for, you know, yep, just to mess around. And sometimes you find out something's disconnected or not connected right. Or, most frequently what I find is, somehow, amazingly, some of my side channels are connected wrong. Magically. Really? Yeah, my kids are bumping them when they have their friends over, and then they reconnect them, and the negative and positive is backwards. They're out of phase, and you're like, what the hell? Why? How does that happen? And like, not only is it, I mean, I had one recently that just disconnected itself, and I could see that it just works itself out.
Yeah.
But then reconnects itself accidentally the wrong way. Yeah. But nobody tells you.
That's pretty fancy speaker wire.
Yeah, you pay extra. It'll never be disconnected. Might not be right, but
yeah.
No matter how much you tell them.
Speaking of it.
Okay. Yeah.
Does your Denon do Oro 3D?
It does. This one does with an upgrade. I didn't get the upgrade yet. Actually, Todd's trying to get me to get that. We're working on that together. he wants me to get that. But I think the more recent ones, I think they just flat out come with it. You're there again. I got you.
Okay.
I got you. Yeah, I think the more recent ones, I think they come with it. And if they don't, they usually have, you know, you can get an upgrade. Mine was like, it's like $200. Yeah. You download it. I haven't got it yet, but. I didn't get it because I thought you needed that, the God speaker, that center one.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to put that in. But from what Todd was saying is that, no, you don't even need that. It'll run off of your existing Atmos setup, just like DTSX, and it'll utilize that, and it utilizes it even better. He goes, even when you run Atmos stuff, doing it that way, he goes, it's better. I was like, all right.
See, that's what I hear. Curious to, agree with you on just about everything. So that's why I was wondering what your opinion was of it, because I always hear it's better, but I've never heard it myself, so I don't know.
What's funny is I love that. There was a time when I used to do everything in direct mode. This was pre-Atmos, because I just wanted it pure. That's what I thought was pure, and then I got away from that. And now I'm just going for best environment. And I've been there for the last probably 10, 12 years, really.
Yeah.
Do you ever run in direct or pure or whatever it is on Onkyo? I forget what it is on Onkyo.
I did. The Onkyo that I've got right now is actually a refurbished replacement. I had the 830, and excuse me. It had I hooked it up. If it was either the rear left channel, or if I put it up in the ceiling and rerouted it, it would have been the top, rear left channel. Either way, it would crackle on certain scenes. And if you watch The Quiet Place with that receiver, it was terrible with The Quiet Place, because it really stood out. So I actually got a hold of Onkyo and told them about the issue, and they, to their credit, they gave me a refurbished one model year newer Onkyo of what it was. I had an 830. It was defective. They gave me an 840.
Oh, okay.
So
that's cool.
But while I had the 830, when I was troubleshooting it and contacting them and stuff, they said if I run it direct or pure or whatever it was called,
yeah,
they told me to give that a shot and see if the issue still happened, and it wouldn't. The crackle would go away if I did it in direct.
Hmm.
So I did use direct for, I don't know, probably 3-4 months, just to get rid of that crackle. And then I finally just got to the point where I was like, it was starting to come out of warranty. If I didn't do something now, it's going to come out of warranty and I'm going to be stuck with it. And I didn't. I mean, yeah. There was the workaround of using the direct, but it was the whole principle of the matter. It's under warranty. It's not right. Let's fix it while it's still under warranty.
And it's so, turning off features to solve a problem, that's not really solving it.
Exactly. Right. So I guess it had something to do with the decoding of decoding it in the receiver as opposed to decoding it in the player, or I don't know. Either way, they gave me a model year newer receiver and they made it right. So, but yes, I did do that direct for a while just because it fixed that little issue that I had.
And what did you think of it compared to the environment you get? Because that's really what the room EQ does, or any of these room correction things. It really is adjusting your environment to the environment.
Yeah. Honestly, and I think this goes back to Onkyo's AccuEQ room correction, I didn't notice a difference at all. I didn't notice a single thing. So
okay,
going back to what we were talking about before, the extra $1,000 between an Onkyo and a Denon.
Yeah.
I mean, $1,000 is a lot, but getting Odyssey instead of Onkyo's thing.
Onkyo used to have Odyssey. Onkyo they had Odyssey because I had an Onkyo. The previous Onkyo I had before my Atmos Onkyo had Odyssey. And I was just like, okay. And like you, I'm like, you know, whatever. I'm like, AccuEQ, Odyssey, whatever you name it, I don't care. It does the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But I do think there is a time and a place for you get what you pay for. It's not always the case, you know, speaker cables, any cables, really. It's like sometimes you can overpay for something that isn't needed. But there is a time and a place for, you know, saying you get what you pay for. And there is something to, you know, I would say, you know, spending that extra $1,000. And I like, in your case, especially with that crackling issue and then not hearing a difference, I would definitely try it out. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Did you hear the story my buddy John had when he ran his Odyssey EQ?
No.
Okay. So I've told it on this podcast, obviously with his permission, but he texts me one day and I get this text, "I'm an idiot." And I was like, "What'd you do now?" So like I said, he has relatively the same receiver I have, and he has the Odyssey EQ app, and he ran his room correction probably monthly, if not like bi-weekly or something, you know. He was loving it, absolutely loving it. And he's like, "And this is even better." He's like, "Oh, it makes such a difference. Sounded great." And then he's on to the forums, and it's one of the things that it's such, and I blame myself. I'm not saying it's common knowledge, but it's one of those things that you think it's just self-explanatory, so you don't make sure to tell people this. But I'll tell you right now, it's like when you do it on your app, at the end of everything, there's one final step. Here's all the settings. Download them to your receiver.
Oh.
So then you download it to your receiver, and now your receiver will run under those settings.
Yeah.
He read that. It never, ever did it. Had never done, or had never done it. So he was running room, you know, Odyssey EQ, and hearing a slight difference, but it was no different. It was the same settings. So then he ran room EQ, Odyssey EQ again. And I said, why did you run it again? You've already got the settings. He goes, I do. I go, yeah, they're still on your iPad. Just hit download. Because you could save all these different settings. He goes, oh, I didn't even know that. I'm like, yeah, but he ran the Odyssey EQ again, downloaded it. And he's like, and this is why, this is the sales pitch to you, Mike. He was like, I got to watch everything over again.
Yeah.
What it did for him and he's in a living room environment, but what it did for him, it was like, he goes, my front stage, my surrounds, it was literally like night and day. And he goes, I thought I heard a difference before. I go, yeah, and there was none. So you can imagine what he hears when there is a difference.
Right. Oh, but, yeah.
But that's one of those things. So like, he literally did a blind test and he goes, it was a little bit. And he goes, I thought it was, you know, at the end of the day, he's like, I thought I heard a difference, but that was just me going, yeah, that's nicer, but it still sounded great.
Yeah.
But then when he ran it, oh my God, like everything, I want to say, and he didn't say this, but I would say a good analogy would probably be what we were talking about, like IMAX versus Dolby Cinema, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, that sounds great, but until you hear Dolby Cinema and go, holy crap, that's clean. And that, right, I think that's what he has now. So I would definitely, like I said, try it out. And, you know, with Amazon, that's possible. So,
yeah. Yeah. I'm real curious to know what a good room correction would do for me. I would really like to know that. So,
and I would do that before you did anything with speakers too.
Now see that's because, excuse me, I went to Expona back in April.
Yeah.
And I brought my wife because, well, one, I brought my wife because she's my wife, but
because she made me.
But I know that if she hears or sees, if we're talking about TVs, if she sees it, but or projections or anything, but I know that if she heard the speakers herself, she'd be like, "Oh, I do hear the difference. Maybe we do need new speakers."
Oh,
you know what I mean. So I brought her, and it worked. We went to the SVS demonstration, and she heard the SVS speakers. She's like, oh, yeah, these sound really good. I want these for at home. Yes! And, all right. It worked. But now you got me thinking, like, do I really need new speakers, or do I need better room correction?
Well, that,
you know,
like I said, it's like when I experienced my receiver, it was under the same speakers. Whereas I feel like the reason I say do it while you have these speakers is because you're used to these speakers. You understand what you're hearing and you'll be able to put stuff in and really be able to tell that there is a distinct difference or not in what the room correction is doing. Then when you upgrade the speakers, you'll know the distinction there too.
Yep.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And to the point that it's very important that when you upgrade your speakers, and what's nice about the app is you can if you wanted to A/B, you can install all the new speakers, you have to run room EQ again because the speakers are doing things differently. So everything's going to be different. So you run room EQ, but you still have that setting for the other one. So if you ever go back, you just pop that one back in and you could actually, I mean, it's not super quick, but you could do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, always run, if you're changing your speakers, you definitely want to rerun your room EQ and, you know, room correction. But do you see what I mean there? That way, because you have some knowledge, don't get rid of that, which would be those speakers. You know what those sound like. So you'd be better suited to gauge that new receiver and what it's capable of.
Yeah. My original plan before we got going on receivers, my original plan is if I did order the new speakers, I was going to A-B those speakers and just put on a scene that I know real well, plug in the new, listen to the old ones, plug in the new ones, and see if I notice a difference. I was going to try and do it that way, too, just to make sure that, you know. I feel like when I got the amplifier, the external amp, I got it mainly because I needed it to get the 4 Atmos.
Right. That's why I got mine, yep.
Yeah. But I also have that, I'm pretty sure I've got the whole, what do they call it, the bias, the buyer, listener bias, where, oh, I think I hear something different.
Yeah.
I probably don't, but it makes me feel good to think that I'm hearing something different, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you sound like me when I have my Onkyo. And yeah. There was something that I, and Mike, what did I want to do? I wanted to get new speakers. I had a guy in for new speakers, and I got a receiver, and I ended up getting new speakers later, but they were basically the newer NHTs.
Yeah.
So basically relatively the same, just better, you know, a little
right.
bit, well, newer, better speakers. But yes, I think that's the other thing too, is I think if you bought new speakers at the same time, one, you don't know which is the improvement. They both might be the improvement, but you're missing out on that step,
right.
that opportunity. And the last thing is, I would say is, so one of the things that like AV Rant says all the time, and HD guys say too, is that a lot people think they need a speaker upgrade, but it's, they need to their room treatments, you know, yes. like they're in a bad environment.
Yeah.
Well, I think that also goes back into the hardware you're running too. So like you have all the room treatments, but what if your room correction isn't doing its job as well as it possibly could? Well, that's your room correction. If it's not doing, that means it's not taking advantage of your room the way something else could. So you're not getting the most out of your speakers.
Right.
Possibly. You know, I'm just spitballing here, but you see what I mean? Like, I would definitely, at the very least, like you said, like if you really want to get those speakers, I would still do the receiver first and then at least have the knowledge. And if you really want the speakers, then return the receiver, buy the speakers, and then you know that, well, that receiver was a lot better, but I'm going to save up. I'll get the speakers first.
Yeah.
I know that's backwards, but you can always return the thing. But I'm just right. telling you, I think that receiver is going to make a difference.
Yeah. I also wonder, because my basement is open, like how good can I get it? Because it's not the ideal environment. It's not an enclosed, dedicated theater space. You know what I mean?
My buddy's is an open floor plan for his house.
Okay.
The one that ran, you know, incorrectly.
Never applied it.
Never applied it. Yeah, exactly. but yeah, it's, I think what's funny is that's what room correction's for. Because
true, good
the
point.
Better your room is, the less room correction has to do.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's
so. Yeah. In my opinion, the larger the room, I don't think it affects your higher end as much. Because what are we trying to do with our higher end sounds? We're trying to make sure, which we've got sound absorption,
right?
Because we don't want it coming back at us. So if you're in a giant room, but your speakers are all around you, that's the equivalent of having good sound absorption right there. Cause it's not bouncing back at you. It's too far away.
Yeah.
Right. Where the open floor plan hurts your sound is your lower end. It's just harder to get that punch in the chest because it's harder to pressurize that room. Right.
Yeah.
You're happy with your bass.
I am.
You're just trying to maximize your environment and how you can I get a better room correction? And you know, no, maybe you can't, but I would guess it sounds like we have the equivalent experiences going on here. You're just at the next step to take.
Yeah.
And I think that I think a Denon would actually, I think the Odyssey would actually help a lot.
Yeah. With that. So. Well, I put in Audioholics has a Denon contest giveaway going right now. I put in for it. Fingers crossed.
Oh, there you go. Do you know which one it is? Do you know what's which that? Which one it is?
The X37, 3700.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's actually the actual one that I want.
Oh, nice. So. That's nice.
Yeah.
Denon 3700. I haven't looked at that one in a little bit. What's that one look
like? It's not, it doesn't have the full amplification for
9.2.4.
But I would still have to keep the external amp. But
okay. So it's a it's a 9.2.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yep. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a nice one. There you go. 9.2 number. There you go.
Who knows? Maybe I'll get lucky.
Hey.
I don't know. I said it during the home theater tour video as well, but my first, even before the receiver, even before the speakers, I got to get a new TV. I got a new display of some kind. That has to be done.
Really? Well, you do have a good setup as it is. I mean, we're picking on your system a little bit. We're just getting into the nitty gritty. I mean, your sound system, it is. It's not like you have a piece of crap there. It's like you got a kick ass system. But we're always looking to improve. But you think you can you get more bang for your buck with the picture right now?
Well, I still have yet to experience HDR.
Oh. Yeah.
I've got a 55-inch Vizio upstairs.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah. Whatever. My brother, same brother, his Sony, his 75-inch Sony has HDR, but it was, I think it was his TV's handful of years, 6-7 years old now, maybe.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was right at the very beginning of HDR.
Yeah.
My TV I bought, it's 4K, but it's 1 year prior to HDR becoming, like, standard, I guess you would call it. And my brother's is a year or two newer than mine. So I really want to upgrade the TV first, mainly because of the HDR. And here's my thing, though, DJ. You always say you get the biggest screen you can, and then because you don't know what you're missing if you don't know what you're missing.
Yep.
I've got it down to an 85-inch LED or a 77-inch OLED. And either way, if I get the 77-inch OLED, I know that I'm missing out on the size. But if I get the 85-inch LED, I know that I'm missing out on the
perfection, fantastic
black levels and the contrast and all that stuff. So it's not that I don't know what I'm missing out on. I know what I'm missing out on
in
either
both
way.
Cases.
And I just can't.
Oh,
I've got a set budget. I can't just go all in and get the 83-inch OLED for $5,500. That's just not happening.
No, I know. I mean, we're all constrained by the budget. It's like, no kidding. That is a great question. Because that's the thing is, like I said, it's easy to say to give that advice when you're talking to somebody new.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause you don't know, I don't want somebody to spend money and not just like, I really don't want you to buy speakers until you get the new receiver.
Right.
Because I really don't think you'll what to hear. And it's not that you don't know what you know. The point with the receiver thing is you do know what you know, and I want you to experience that receiver, right?
Yeah.
But in this situation, that's a great question. I almost swore. Damn. I almost said, because that is so hard. Cause you're right. Because it's like, But like, because you know there'll be times when you're sitting there, and either way, you're going to be like, that is a beautiful picture. It's a little small.
Yep.
Or you'll be like, check out that 85 inches. That's so great. I'm like, couldn't it? But here's, it is really hard because I can give you the pros of both directions, right? So once you get that big picture in there, it's going to be great. It's going to have great HDR compared to what you have, right?
Right. Oh, sure.
So you're still in the world of slight ignorance of it's not like that. It's not like the OLED sitting next to it.
Right.
Right. And that's, you're going,
absolutely.
Oh, crap. You know, that's not quite as good as that one over there. Like I say all the time, I've said it all the time with streaming, streaming to disc, some of the Kaleidoscape to disc. It is so close, right? Like if you watched it here on the Kaleidoscape and then ran to your house on the disc, be like, I don't know what DJ is talking about. This is better, or this is just as good, right? It's that close. But when you A-B it, you're like, I see a difference, but it's so close.
Yeah.
So I would go. That's the problem. Testing that crap out too is like, you don't know what settings they have. You'd have to be able to tinker with it. But part of me that's my positive for the 85 inch is that at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, they're great, but the 85 inch is probably going to be pretty damn good too.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
But now let's go the other direction, because I don't want to make this easy on you. You just got perfection. You know that OLED's going to be dead on.
Yeah.
I mean, every time. All right, I'm going to tell you right now, it's you're on Twitter. You like coming on here. You like to interact. You want that OLED. I'm just telling you. Because you know what? You're going to be like, nobody ever says, when was the last time? Like, I mentioned my screen size if somebody asks, or if somebody goes, what are you watching it on? 110 inch. But it's not about that.
Yeah. It,
seriously, it's not. It's black levels. It's check out the Batman, the black level. Nobody goes, oh, my 110 inch screen does this. Yeah, but it's black and white. It's like, but you know, it's like, it's the black levels and it's the accuracy. And you're going to be able to know that you had, like, you're going to get that OLED. I recommend, have you ever done a calibration?
And it, I've never had it professionally done.
Okay. You go OLED, I recommend calibration for people, especially somebody with the passion that you have. If you've heard me talk about in the past, I can't remember who it was, but they were like, we talked about it in a Takeover Tuesday. And sometimes, it was, Dan who lives, he had my guy come out, Jim,
came to his
house. Yep. Right. Yep. And he's like, yeah, I see a difference and it's great and this and that. And he goes, and I said, but at the end of the day, Jim comes to my house every single time, like every year, and does it every single time. I get something new. He does it. Sometimes you're like, looks the same as it did, but it's you're assured, you have the right picture. So that's what's great about having somebody like that. And if you get to meet him, you get to meet him, but you get a relationship with him and you know, like, hey, can you come back out? Just make sure everything's right. You know, once a year, if it's $400, whatever it is, $500, it's the peace of mind that you can actually purchase, and it's a value to you, because like we said before, we're chasing that unicorn.
Oh yeah.
Cause we don't know. Here's something that they can come out and tell you that's set up as perfect as it can possibly be. And if it's like Jim, when he comes out, he shows me on the scale and you get that little color triangle and you'll see where it's supposed to be. And all my different projectors over the years, I've seen, he goes, that's as close as we can get it. And cause the projector's just not capable of actually pulling that, you know, pulling that green into the exact green square that it needs to be and pulling the red into. So, but then with my Sony, he goes, when we got that, he goes, watch this. And he's so excited because he wanted me to get a Sony for years. And I'm like, all right. And he goes, watch. And he goes, perfect, dead on. And I was like, yeah, I'm like, I don't know what the hell that means. But it's like, but according to the graph, that's what you're getting. And it's just that knowledge of knowing, hey, it's, I got it. It's right. And then every time you watch a movie, you'll be like, that's what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. All right. You have no doubt. You don't think your projector is bad. You don't think, or your screen or your display, you'll know that that's what it's supposed to look like. And then you'll be able to, like you said, like I said, you like to interact. You like to get on Twitter and you'll be like, oh, my OLED, it looked like boom, boom, boom. And you're going to have, I mean, your thumbs are automatically going to spell out OLED and then the, you know, number, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll be like, blah, blah, blah. And everybody will be like, ooh, he knows what he's talking about. He has, you know, you got a you literally will have a reference display, you know, as opposed to saying my 85 inch, it's like, So
yeah,
I hate to say it. I love size, but with your knowledge and what you're going to really want to do, just like they say on AV Rant, just scooch up a little closer and enjoy the beauty.
There you go.
So
scooch up. I like that. Scooch up a little closer. Yeah, no, the calibration, like you said, it, that peace of mind for guys like us of knowing that, all right, it's done right, it's how it's supposed to be, like that's worth it, that 400 500 bucks, whatever. That's because I would sit here and I would second guess, can I make it better, can I fix this, can I, that would drive me nuts.
Yeah. And it that's how we started our conversation off. It's like I said, it's the unicorn. You're like, that's why I had a sound guy out. I'm like, is this right? Is this right? And I get that question all the time. And it's like, people like, what is your, I'd love to hear that. I'd love to see what yours is like. Cause we all want to hear and see what other people have so we can compare it to what we have. Well, now you're going to get a professional to tell you that that's as good as it's ever going to, that's perfect. That's, you got a great image there. All right. All right. Yeah. Check that off and you'll have peace of mind. And yeah, so all right, that was all right, we checked that off the list. We know what you're getting next. Which OLED was
I got it? A birthday coming up in a couple of weeks, maybe I can convince the wife.
There you go. Which OLED was it?
The A80J. It's on sale right now. It's last year's Sony.
There you go.
So it's down to like 2600, something like that.
Nice.
For a 77 inch OLED.
Yeah, 77. What'd you say? The next step up is the 83 for like twice the price.
Yeah.
Six more inches for twice the price.
And it's, the 77 is still 7 inches bigger than what I've got right now. So I'm still getting an increase in size.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but, and here's the thing. Don't even compare, because at the same time, like we said when we were doing your tour, there's always bigger.
Right. Right?
And you're always going to have that, you know, size envy and always be like, oh, like I have at 110, I'm like, could I squeeze 120 on there? Could I do, you know, you always have that. But
yeah,
knowing, especially now, knowing what you know and... knowing that the Batman is out there, you gotta, you know, to have an OLED, to be able to say, like, because if you don't get the OLED and you go with the size and then you hear people talking and be like, oh, he really liked it. Oh, he's got the OLED, but I'm not seeing what he sees, or am I seeing it? Yeah. And I just don't understand. I don't know. This erases all that question for you.
Yep.
So.
Well, honestly, DJ, you made me feel better. You did. Like, hey. I was stressing about that one. I don't have to stress about that anymore, so that's good.
Yeah, see, well, and honestly, you're coming at it, you were right, you're coming at it from a different approach. My idea is always, you know, size, but with somebody with knowledge like yourself, there's a lot to consider. And I think, I mean, I honestly, looking at you right now, and I think you're, like, excited about that knowledge, like, he's right. I do want to tell people I watch this on an OLED.
yeah, I do.
Yeah. I seen your interaction on Twitter. It's like, but we do. It's like you said, I mean, hey, How the guy that stood in the kitchen waiting for people to hear the damn thing.
Yep.
Just waiting. Yeah. And now wait till you're going to get the OLED going and people coming. You're going to be standing in front of it. You see this right here? Look at this detail in the shadow. What? Like, why are we watching Monster Hunter in the middle of this cave scene?
Right.
Who the hell? This is horrible. Yeah, but look at those rocks.
Yep. There's another brainless fun movie right there.
Oh, isn't it?
Yep.
I love that. I honestly, that's not my cup of tea, but the type of movie it is.
Yeah.
But it is. That one was a lot of fun. Her eyes in that. Well, you don't have HDR yet.
No.
Wait till you get the OLED. No, but you
can't. I got
lots
to rewatch when I finally get that TV. If I finally get that TV.
If. What's the first thing that you're going to watch when you get that TV?
Oh, God.
Not if. When?
Honestly, it'd probably be the Batman. Yeah. I'd want to see the Blacks in the Batman. Granted, that's, I still got to wait. Well, the day that this airs, the Batman will come out. So
there you go.
Pick that up then, but no. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 seems like it would be real impressive.
Yeah.
Because it looks impressive on my TV now. So I'm assuming that if I got it on a real nice HDR image, it would look even better.
Yeah. So
that would be up there.
Colors will pop a lot nicer.
Yeah.
Because what's real fun about HDR, that when it's done right, it's not just your deepest blacks and your details in the shadows, but it's your overall grayscale is so much better that it's executing your grayscale so much better that your colors are more vibrant when they need to be. Things glow better. Lightsabers glow nicer. Things are done in a better way because your picture is all the foundation is that grayscale, and then that just color goes on top of it, right? So if your grayscale is off, then that, that green hue in the background isn't as brilliant as it should be. And it's amazing when you finally get that all correct and you see that and you're like, whoa. So that there's a lot more to, we always go with like the Batman. It's like, the Batman is a great example because if you're crushing your blacks, then it just ruins everything in the Batman. But there's a lot to go on, there's a lot that goes on in the bright scenes too, in the colors that HDR really handles really, really well because of how it does. It's basically your grayscale. So, did we lose you again? There he
just
is.
For a sec.
He's back.
I'm back.
Yeah.
I was thinking when I got my current TV, the first thing I watched was The Dark Knight.
Oh, that's a good one. Yep.
So maybe I should just keep that trend, keep that tradition, and like we said, stick with the Batman when I get the new TV.
Yep. That one's nice. When you get the Batman next week, or today, as this airs, when you get that, I would definitely give it a couple of watches. Like, say you were if you're expecting the TV for your birthday or around that time, get the Batman in a couple times so you get that knowledge,
right?
So you get those scenes, and then when you get the new one, you'll know what scenes you don't have to watch it entirely again, but you probably will. But you'll know what scenes to be like, you've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay. So the scene at the beginning when he's walking into the scene, he's walking by all the police officers. Watching it streaming and then watching it on the 4K with really good HDR, his costume has a shade to it that doesn't show up streaming. It just looks like it's like a charcoal, and like his suit looks all just like basically black and different tones of black. Whereas with the HDR, with the nice, without compression, with the nice look, his chest plate is actually like a gray. like a nicer gray, and it has a different, almost like a different hue to it. And you're walking in, and I don't know if it's the way the light's reflecting from that room off of it, but you're like, it's evident. And it's, and like I said, that's one of those things that like good HDR can do, where it's pulling out that color because your grayscale underneath it is correct. And so there's so much to that movie.
Yeah.
So you'll like that. So.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, yeah. And when you get the receiver, what's the scene? what's the scene you watch there? That the the Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
You shall not pass.
Yep.
Do you have any good pans? Like I have my like the one, my Terminator pan that I love. Do you have any good pans that you know of that you've had examples of?
No, I don't. No. Like I said, I've just recently been turned on to pans by this guy named DJ. So I don't really have any reference things like that yet. I was just this. I have about a 25 minute window every morning when my wife and kids go to school, and I don't have to leave for school for about another 20-25 minutes. So I'll come down to the basement. And I'll throw a scene on and watch it super loud because I'm the only person home. And I, last couple of days, I watched the first scene in Overlord. You ever seen that?
No. No.
Oh, my. It's fantastic. You know the movie at all?
I'm picturing the writing, but I don't know it. I can't say that it's, I do. No.
It's like a Nazi zombie war movie.
Okay.
Essentially.
Okay.
But the opening 10-15 minutes is fantastic. Bass and Atmos and like bullets flying and oh man, that was it's impressive. It's worth checking out. So right now I'm on that kick. If I had to pick one right today when I get the new receiver, I'd watch that first scene in Overlord. Because it's pretty sweet.
Okay. I just pulled it up on IMDb. It's from 2018. I knew the writing. That's why as soon as it came up, I'm like, yep, I get that. It's kind of like that, I guess it would be like Nazi writing or something, the way they spell out Overlord or whatever, but
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
They're on a military helicopter and like, mm-hmm. you hear, not a helicopter. It's not a jet either. What is it? A plane? I don't even know what you call it. Plane, a jet, whatever, military bomber type thing. But you hear that you're in the plane. So it's like, kind of like, I'm assuming what you were describing with Morbius, when you're in New York and you can hear people talking, but you can't really make out.
Right.
You're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Same idea. So you're in the plane and the voices are coming out of the center channel, just like you should. You can hear the voices fine. It's not super clear because it wouldn't be super clear if you're in that plane. Everything's so loud, but you can tell what they're saying. And then the bullets start flying and the bullets are flying all over everywhere. And the bass is just thunderous. It's, oh man. Ugh. If you haven't checked that out, that's a highly suggested scene for you to check out.
God, you're killing me, kid. You're killing me. Let me see here. Overlord. Nope, that's not how you spell it. Let's see. Over there it is. Oh, yeah. There it is. Kaleidoscape. Atmos. Atmos HDR. All right. Downloading.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That's down. I'm going to watch it now. I have to. I'll watch it in the morning. That's awesome.
Let me know what you think. It's awesome.
I heard you mention that on Twitter to Todd, I think, about getting, you were like, I got to get a Kaleidoscape or get, what'd you say? Was it get a Kaleidoscape or be a reviewer?
So I can get the stuff earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth repeating. It's not a knock to Kaleidoscape at all. It is one of the reasons that I said to my wife, I'm like, hey, what's kind of cool is I get these movies early. It'll be fun for the podcast. She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a reason. It does wear off. It does.
Okay.
It does wear off. I said it before in the podcast, and it's like, I wouldn't, there are many, many reasons to buy a Kaleidoscape. That's not the reason. that's not the reason to buy one. That's not the first reason to buy one, because if that's why you would buy one, then you'd be like, after a while, you're like, okay. Because when the movies come out, well, now that's when they come out to you.
Right.
Yeah. So like you just said, all it does is move the date up, and I'm not any more special than you. I got to watch it. Now you're going to get to watch The Batman on Tuesday, and right. It's going to be great for you. Right. So there it is. And at times you're like, well, crap, I can't really talk to anybody about it because nobody else has it yet. So, you know, I wouldn't discourage you by any stretch. If you ever could get one, but because I think, like you said, coming down and watching a movie for 20 minutes, that's the person that would love these things, because you can jump in. If you have a half hour, you could jump from four different movies and watch some of your favorite scenes. Like, I'll literally watch Overlord tomorrow morning. I'll watch that whole scene and then just be like, okay, I'll hit pause and go to work. But it'll take me 2 seconds to put it in. And if I want, I'll go back into Civil War, which I was watching earlier. And
that's a good one.
And you pop out and go right back in, and you just hit play, and it just says, do you want to resume or start over? Play, two buttons, boom, it's starting right up.
That's awesome.
You know, whereas if you got a disc, you got to get up, oh, which movie do it, and then find the scene. This is boom, boom, boom. So if you love to jump around scenes, that's why I like it. That's what I love about it. But it is cool getting them early, but that wears off. It really does. It's because it just becomes the norm for you, right? Like, okay. So,
I like discs. I like stuff. I like collecting things. You know what I mean? So the idea of watching a scene here and then flipping over and watching a scene there, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But I do like having the stuff.
Yeah.
I like collecting the stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever end up getting, I kind of doubt I'll ever end up getting a Kaleidoscape. Yeah. But
What Johnny Speakers? Johnny Speakers looking into the Zapiti. You know, I was talking to him the other day. He DM'd me. I got to talk to him tomorrow. He's actually tracking one down, and because he's like you, he likes the stuff, and that's very, very similar to the Kaleidoscape. It's not as smooth, but pretty much can do the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, and now, still have all the stuff.
Is the Zapiti lossless? Like a Kaleidoscape is?
It's 1-to-1 to the disc.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
That's what's, it's real nice. It's 1-to-1 to the disc. It's identical to the disc. And
So you literally use the disc to put the file onto the Zapiti. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you back up the exact same file, and it's a 1-to-1 copy. When you back it up, you can actually back up the entire disc. You can watch all the extras. You can do everything.
Oh, cool.
You get everything. It's a 1-to-1 copy of whatever's on that disc. What you end up doing. What's that?
That might be more up my alley.
Hmm. That's what Johnny's looking at. He has we got a couple of questions that I'm going to walk him through tomorrow. I think, which as this airs will have been last week, there are a ton of options, you know, and we talked in the podcast with, Tom and Rob about the difference between Plex, Zapiti, and then Kaleidoscape, and how Plex is just a little bit more complicated than Zapiti. And then, you know, Zapiti is a little more, a lot more complicated. Kaleidoscapes, there's no complication. It's foolproof, really. But the Zapiti, there's some learning curve to it, but especially with this, it's like Johnny knows me, and I knew, you know, Nelson, I knew other people that people reached out to me, listeners helped me with it. So there's a good network of people to help you through all this stuff. And it's fun. And you get to meet people and talk to people about this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And you have a cool collection in your closet there of all your movies and stuff. And I get that. And I still have my collection. I still like my stuff. Just now I collect stuff for, you know, if it's a nice steelbook or something, I'll get it.
Right. And, oh, yeah.
I haven't decided which the Batman yet I'm going to get, but I'm going to get that. And I have people asking me to compare the disc to the Kaleidoscape. So I imagine it's going to be the same, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so, here's a Kaleidoscape question for you. I notice sometimes, maybe I'm getting this wrong, but the file size of the HDR is sometimes smaller than the file size of just the Ultra HD.
Yeah. How does that work? It's funny, of all the things we talked about yesterday with, I say yesterday, but when I recorded with Tom and Rob, I didn't get to that. I wanted to ask Rob about that. I'm not sure if he even knows. My guess is, and this is just a guess, is so what the UHD file is it's 4K without the HDR. So that's for people like yourself.
Yeah. Right?
Wait. Okay. So it gives you a, I guess that's supposed to be a cleaner version for your television so that you can play a 4K image, but it, you know, without the HDR.
Yeah.
Obviously 4K HDR is the HDR image. The only thing I can guess is that little bit extra, and it's so little, it's barely a what is it? It's like a gigabyte, if that.
Yeah, if it's not much.
If it's a 76 gigabyte file for a 4K, it'll be like a 77 gigabyte or 77.1 gigabyte for a UHD. It's something silly, right?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think is it's, and again, this is just a guess. What if it's just extra information to telling the player to not use the HDR.
Oh.
You see what I mean? Like, it's basically the same file, but now I have to tell it, don't do this.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Because you'd think that the HDR information would, if you eliminate that, you'd think that would make it a smaller file, right?
Right.
That's logic. But with my, you know, I'm a car painter. This is my line of thinking. That's all I could come up with. So I don't know. And I don't know even who to ask to find that out. You know, I've tried Googling it and looking it up because I noticed it a while ago myself. And I'm like, that's weird. But now, like, Todd and I are putting out these, you know, images and people are going, wait a minute, why is the UHD smaller? Because we're saying, like, hey, look, 66 gigabytes on the Disney, and then, you know, you're getting a 80 gigabyte here, and they're like, yeah, but the UHD is even bigger. Yeah, but then I'm even looking, does that one come with maybe some extras? Does something else? Nope. It's the same exact file.
Huh.
But, yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
Rob will know. He knows everything.
I know. Well, if he doesn't, you know what's funny is if he doesn't, he's really good at finding it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and then once he finds it, he's just retaining it. So he keeps everything.
It's not leaving. Once it's in there, it's stuck. Yeah.
Oh my God. His brain's like a steel trap. Mine's like a sieve. It catches a little bit. But yeah. So now I'm excited for tomorrow morning, Overlord.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to hear what you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be fun. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
How'd you come across that? Was that a video game?
No, I don't believe so. That was a Black Friday $7 pickup. Like,
okay.
You know, $5-$7, whatever, on Black Friday. And I had heard that it had good bass. And my subs were new at the time, so I was like, anything that had good bass, I'm picking it up.
Bass, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's... not the whole movie. The whole movie is not like this, but the first, I don't know, 10 minutes, it's like Pacific Rim level. I mean, it's, you got Atmos flying all over, you got really deep bass. It's nice. Awesome. It's fun. It's a lot of fun for the first few minutes.
And it's fun to find a movie like that too, that has it, like, you put the disc in and it's right there. Right.
Yeah.
So that, because you're always looking for that, like Lucy's like that. I was trying to make, I started making a list of, you know, you know, insert and demo, call it something like that. And maybe this will be on that list too, where it's just like, you just hit play and there it is. There's the demo scene. And it sounds good. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to
it. The cool thing about that is, for at least for me, I'm then set for the rest of the movie. Like, I didn't really know. I didn't really know Overlord. I didn't really know the story. I just had heard that it had good bass. So I've turned on that movie. I experienced it for the first 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Okay, now I'm set. Next hour and a half, I'm in for this movie. I want to see the rest of this movie now because of that first scene.
Right. Yeah, it's a tone setter. And it gets you invested that you're like, oh, you're engaged now. And that's kind of how I feel about Morbius with Todd. That I'm like, I really feel like once you get going on this movie that you're going to want to like it, you know, and be like, I'm here. I might as well enjoy the story too. You know, and it's like, all right, I'll forgive all that crap. All right, here we go. Like Moonfall.
Oh,
the moon fell.
So what's more realistic, Moonfall or Morbius? Some dude turning into a vampire.
Morbius.
Morbius.
Well,
all right, fair.
Because they use science. Like they use science. Like he makes a concoction that gets you to do this stuff, and it's like I can make that leap. You know what I mean? Like, who's to say that there isn't something out there that can trigger something in you to do this stupid thing? There's no way you'd be able to grow fangs that fast. No kidding. But the what happens in Moonfall? Like, isn't that beyond impossible without destroying everything?
Right. Like, I mean,
there's no coming back from that. Like,
it can't just go back into orbit?
Right. So we know how, look at it this way. Aren't our tides set up because of where the moon, the gravitational pull of where that moon is?
Yep.
Right? And then this thing literally scrapes the planet? And we're okay?
Everything's fine.
Yeah. Ooh. 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 That was close.
Dodge that bullet.
Whoa. Oh man, like, I mean, come on, what are you watching the weather? Well, we're gonna snowstorm tomorrow and the moon's gonna scrape by, like, full moon effect. Like, what are you doing? Like, I mean, there, that's a leap there that if it didn't have great home theater, what are we doing? I mean, take the home theater out of that and take the home theater out of Morbius. Take it. I mean, obviously take it out of Hurricane Heist. I get it. But I'm like, wow. It's like, oh, and like, that was tough. That was tough. It's like, but I do like that's the one part of it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen Moonfall, but I do kind of like the story. I like the idea of it. You know, without giving it away, what the moon is.
Oh, okay.
You know, okay. I can go with that. That seems almost scientific and sci-fi, and like, you're like, all right, hey,
okay,
what if that actually happened? But the what? You know, it coming, you know, no. No. That to me is like, but Morbius? Like, oh, I invented a drug. It's like, that's no more unbelievable than what happened to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Right?
True. Right.
You know? So.
Yeah.
Which do you think is more plausible? You don't have to agree with me.
I agree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree. Morbius is more plausible. I just, I don't know. Moonfall cracks me up.
It is.
Here's the thing. I'm sort of on the Marvel thing. I had no problem with Thanos coming and snapping and killing half of everything. I was cool with that. But when dragons started flying in Shang-Chi, I was like, nope, so too far, too far. Nope, dragons don't fly. I don't know. But, it makes no sense.
That's right. You haven't seen Game of Thrones.
I haven't, no.
Dragons fly.
Well, I mean, just the fact that there was a dragon, period.
Right.
I was going to say the dragons are flying. That there's a dragon, period. Correct. Thanos snapping? Oh, cool. Aliens from, fine. I'm on board. I'm great.
Right.
But now we've got dragons? Oh, nope. Sorry. I'm out.
I wasn't out, but I do have to agree with you. I have to agree with you that when I saw that in Shang-Chi, I was like, where have they been?
Right. Like, yeah.
Wait a minute. That's this planet.
Yeah.
Right? I do agree with you that when I saw the dragon and it was like, they're still on and nobody knew. But then I had to reassess and it, honestly, I've rewatched Shang-Chi and I enjoyed it more. I enjoy it more that the more I watch it, just because I'm understanding it more and I'm enjoying it more of like the action and the kung fu and everything.
Yeah.
But the first time I watched it, I think I was expecting and wanting more MCU story. I wanted a little bit more. And what I did get, like you, I was like, dragons? That's what they're giving us? Like, what, Phase 4 has dragons? I didn't, like, where have these been? But then you've seen Eternals since then, and like, there's a lot of stuff going on that we just don't know about. And so you have to, I've reassessed and said, all right, if the Eternals have existed the whole time, and obviously Captain Marvel existed, then she took off and now she's back. And it's like, all right, I guess it's possible that dragons were hit. And it was in a cave for a while, so who knows how long it was in there. And right. I don't know. But I did have that feeling, though. I do have to agree with you. That, like you said, all right, Thanos is from another planet. Never saw him before, and there's a reason for it. He's from another planet. Dragon? On my planet? That's a little bit different.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
so, nah.
What's your favorite MCU movie?
Oh, gosh. Because
you're an MCU guy.
I am. I'm a big MCU guy. Oh, I don't want to go with Endgame because I feel like that's just the cop-out. But
why?
Because it's like the biggest one and everybody's in it and it's the culmination of everything.
Yeah.
But probably Endgame.
Yeah. Well, because that's so hard to do.
Yeah.
The expectations are so high. And
right.
The fact that a lot of people say Endgame is a tribute to the fact that how do you pull that off? Because you know the expectation, especially where it's the second of the two movies.
Yeah.
And it's almost a guaranteed letdown. And yet people say to this, like, I gotta go with Endgame. And I don't know. I've come off of it. I used to think that. I'm right now, I am between the original Avengers
movie. Okay.
And I gotta say Winter Soldier has moved up in the ranks for me.
Okay.
Winter Soldier is a better movie, but the other thing I factor in now that I'm doing so much, you know, over the last, well, since the podcast and probably a little before that, I do so much more watching now is rewatchability.
Yeah.
That fact, like Endgame is absolutely probably the best Marvel movie. But if I was to put out a ranking, I also factor in how many times do I go, I got to watch this again.
Yeah.
And it's just a tough watch. It's 3 hours long. Right.
Right. You know.
But that battle scene at the end, I mean, it's, monthly, I mean, come on. It's just an amazing scene. That's the culmination, like Avengers Assemble on your left, getting the hammer and oh my God.
That was single-handedly the coolest experience I've ever had at an actual theater was when Cap picked up Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And the place just went up for grabs.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was awesome.
Didn't you feel like it was expected, but yet unexpected? Like you felt like they didn't even, that was something that didn't have to be delivered. Like if they never delivered that, you never would have walked out of Endgame going, I can't believe Cap never picked up the hammer.
Right.
But yet when he did, you were shocked, but at the same time going, I should have saw that coming. I should have known, because you had that, you know, Age of Ultron when they were all playing with it and he got it to move.
Uh-huh. He budged it a little bit.
Yeah, and remember, and then Thor's like, oh, he got nervous. But it, not only was it cool that he gets the hammer, but then Thor looks at him and goes, like, everybody in the theater, yes! Like, he's as excited as we were.
Yeah.
Which is so cool, because in Age of Ultron, he was like, uh-oh. He got a little nervous, right? So it was like, you know, like it was their respect, like they're brothers now. And it's like, yes, I knew it. You're worthy or whatever. But he cheered right along with us. I thought that was really cool. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, I don't know. I like a lot of them. There's a few Marvel movies that just didn't do it for me. But for the most part, I liked pretty much all of them.
All right, what didn't do it for you?
The Ant-Mans don't really do it.
Agree.
I never really liked Black Widow.
Oh, really?
The actual Black Widow movie.
I did like the Black Widow movie, because I like her. I like her. I love the character. That's a fun one to watch, HDR. It's very good color, really dramatic color, great contrast throughout that movie. I watch over for the picture. It's got great sound too. It really does.
Yeah.
As far as Marvel goes, it's not a Sony disc, but it is really good. I enjoy that one a lot. But it's no Endgame. No.
Right.
Ant-Man's, I agree with you. They're a little bit down. I mean, Paul Rudd's great. I think he's funny. But as far as even in like Civil War, it just felt like a little out of place. I mean, it was great that he was there, but it just like that. I don't know. I just feel like that little bit of comedy. I don't know. It's not bad. It's not bad by any stretch. But it just, for some reason, it just feels a little out of place.
Yeah.
To me, anyways.
The first time I watched the first Doctor Strange, I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
And then I rewatched it, and I liked it much more after I rewatched it.
Yeah.
But the first time I saw it, man, that was, oh my gosh. My thought was that's a dud. That was their first, like, they really just dropped it on that one. But
have you seen
Thor 2, Dark World? Dark World's kind of,
I like rough. That. I actually do. I like all the Thor movies. People listen like, wow, okay, turn him off. I do like all, I'm just entertained. I like Natalie Portman. I'm entertained by them. They're not great. I do like the first one, and Ragnarok is probably my top.
Ragnarok I love.
Yeah. And that, yeah, but yeah, of the movie, but yeah, I would say the Thor movie, you know, Dark World is probably lower in the MCU, but I would enjoy those more than Ant-Man. Hulk is probably one of the, you know, the Hulk movies.
No, I like Hulk. I liked Hulk.
I like it, but it's definitely one of the lower, not really as rewatchable. I don't get jazzed up for it as much. Maybe if it was Mark Ruffalo, I don't know. But
that's the thing. I like Ed Norton.
I love Ed Norton.
I wish they could have kept Ed Norton on, but whatever
happened,
I don't even know. But
I'm not saying it would have changed that movie, But as far as rewatchability, it seems out of continuity, so it doesn't feel right. as right to watch it. That's what I mean by it. It's not that I don't like Ed Norton. I think Ed Norton's great. I like Tim Roth. I think I love Tim Roth. I love almost everything he does. You ever watch the show Lie to Me?
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Okay. I think, if I remember right, it was on Fox. It's on, my wife and I watch it. I don't know, every couple of years we'll go through the series again and watch it. So it's Tim Roth, and he owns a this firm that basically reads your face. They've come up with algorithms so that he's an expert on knowing if you're lying or not. Like, he can look at you and go, yeah, see what you're doing here. And the entire show is an education on, like, there's things you do when you lie that they're involuntary. You can't even control them, right?
Oh, okay.
And that's what he does. And it was funny raising kids and watching this show, because this show was out like 20 years ago, whatever, 15 years ago. And then your kids are doing stuff, and my wife and I are laughing, and we'll be like, go to your room. They'll go upstairs and be like, we'll look at each other and go, do you remember that episode? They're like, that's what I was thinking, because the kids are doing it. And you're like, holy crap. So, like, you're utilizing this stuff.
That's awesome.
It's super interesting. It's not like you become like this expert, but it's just fun to try to implement it and stuff. And you'll be like, you'll see people do these things. And, but it's a good show too. And it's Tim Roth. And Tim Roth plays this sarcastic, wise ass that, like, he's like rich because of his firm, because of his business and everything. And he's like, he's got all these, like, you know, contracts with different people and everything, whatever, large firms. So he's just like, I don't care. He's like, the way he treats people. I mean, he's a great guy. He has a daughter in it and stuff. It's a good show. It's a good show.
Yeah.
Sarcasm. Love that stuff. It's great. I can't remember what it's on though. It's gotta be on, like, it might even be on Netflix. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But yeah. Lie to Me with Tim Roth. I forget what year it was from, but that one was really good.
I'm gonna check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of fun. Not a home theater one, but it's a fun show.
Still fun.
I think you and your wife would like it. I know me and my wife love it. And
yeah,
like, every now and then we'll be scrolling and there it is and be like, well, start that one again. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That very nice.
Cool. So, Mike, buddy, 2.5.
Yeah. How about that?
Did it seem like 2.5?
Not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
And no.
What were you worried about?
See, that's... I have no reason to worry. No. There was no reason to worry. I had this whole thing planned out for you, DJ.
And
I got to throw this in real quick before we go.
Uh-oh.
Because in one of your episodes, I think you were talking to Johnny Speakers, actually.
Okay.
You mentioned how some people were reluctant to come on, and you mentioned me. And
oh yeah, I called you out.
Yeah,
that's what you said.
I don't remember calling you out.
I didn't. And I'm sorry.
I actually went back, and I found. I said, I called this scene. Oh wait. Sorry. It's from episode 171 with Dan Carpenter. Time stamped at 2 hours, 1 minute, and 25 seconds. And I called this scene "Coax Him Out of the Woodwork." And I give it 2 boxes of popcorn because it got me to come out of my cell and actually come on the show. But, you know, you literally said, and I quote, "coax him out of the woodwork." So
I said that.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, God. So that's awesome. That is, I don't know. Am I sorry?
No. And like I said, hey, man, I gave you 2 boxes of popcorn. It got me to get out here and do this. And this was fantastic.
Thank you.
I had so much fun.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Honestly,
if there's anyone else out there that's kind of hesitant, don't be, because there's nothing to be hesitant about.
Just wait for him to embarrass you publicly. then it's all downhill from there. No, honestly, I honestly don't think I would have done that if I hadn't felt like I knew you better. I mean, we had done HT tours. I had met you. We had talked otherwise, you know, DM'd and stuff.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, it's, because I never want to embarrass anybody, stuff like that, and be like, this guy's calling, you know, not that anybody. And that's the thing is, and I've had people say, and I won't use their names because there's some of them are new listeners and they are nervous about it. And I understand it. But like I've said before, like people are like, I'm afraid to be made fun of, like be thought of as a nerd.
Yeah.
And what's funny is I get that. I really do, because it's our instinct. Because it's that eye roll that we're used to getting almost like every time we speak about this stuff. But I, like, you know, it's you can't say it enough that you're this. Yeah. One, you are a nerd. But we all are. And it's like, but that's what's great about being here is we love, that's what we just want to be around other nerds like us. I mean, you know,
absolutely.
And what was funny is I hope. The person I talked to through email, I'm not sure if they're on Twitter, but the first time I said that, the outpouring on Twitter, people like, if you're listening or if you're reading this, you're not a nerd. You're not a go on the show. And I'm like, no, you are, but that's cool. It's like, don't deny it. Like, let's lean into it and have fun with it, you know? Absolutely. And it's like, and the people that would actually make fun, they're not listening to this anyways. Because if they were, they'd be making fun of themselves. And they'd be like, you know, it's like, don't worry about it. And it's like, you know.
Well, you even, for a while there, you were saying, what's up, home theater friends?
Yeah.
And then you switched back. And I actually commented on you when you switched back to what's up, home theater nerds.
Yeah.
And I commented, say, hey, thank you. I don't get me wrong. I want to be your friend, but I would rather be a nerd. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it was you guys saying that. It was that you weren't the only one. Other people said it too. And I think Theo said it as well. But it was like, it felt wrong because I'd been saying nerds for so long. So that just became the habit, right? So I had to try to change. But I wanted people to feel like I wanted to make it a more friendly environment. So I tried to change it to friends. But then I was like, but wait a minute. Yeah. I'm like,
we're all nerds.
We're all nerds. Okay. And it's like, let's just lean into that and have fun with it. And honestly, I think the first time I went back to it, it was an accident. It was
really?
Yeah, I think it was an instinct. And I was like, hey, because I mean, I can, my wife can, did I tell you that? Did you hear that one? My wife can do it. She said she was on a podcast for her school and she was so excited, but nervous. And when she got asked to do this podcast, it was about education and stuff. And they wanted a speaker. And she goes, oh, my husband has a podcast. And they're like, he actually has two. And they're like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, he does a home theater one. And they're like, what is it? And she goes, Brightside Home Theater. She goes, it's about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the experiences.
Oh, that's amazing.
And she went, oh my God. The person was like, what? She goes, I just did his open. She goes, it's the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And I'm like, without the hesitation, the experiences.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was like, and then when she was telling me about it, she said, and she doesn't even listen that often. So it's like, she just gets that. Plus I think she can hear me like when I come down here and I'll just be like,
yeah.
So, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What do you think about, all right, I got two questions for you.
Okay.
What do you think about the open on this? I haven't asked anybody this yet. The way I open this show is I don't do a hey home theater nerd. I just come right in like we're going to fade right into our conversation. What do you think of that when you plug it? How does that, do you like that?
I like that personally. Yes. I think it's very, especially for people that know what's going on. I suppose if we're just tuning in for the very first time, maybe you would be a little confused. But for those of us that have been around for a while, we know exactly what to expect already.
Mm-hmm.
And I like just rolling right into it. I think it's kind of cool.
Cool. Okay. Because that's what I'm going for. Because like the Takeover Tuesday was for the listeners, right?
Yeah.
And I'm probably losing a little bit in like growing it, but I think I'll make up in the long run because it's engaging with the listener, right? Where it's, I think you're right in that somebody new, and this is the first one they click on, they're, like, if this is their first podcast, they're going to think it's me and you every time. And then the next one's different, and they'll be like, what is this? But so there's a learning curve for that, as opposed to, this is, hey, Home Theater, this is a Bright Side Home Theater podcast, and this is what we, and you introduce yourself and what you do.
Yeah.
But I that's what I wanted, is with the Takeover Tuesday, with the listeners, and with, I want it to be ours. So it is more for the people that are already initiated. And then the other one is like, you know, there's other things to click on for people, because I have, you know, other stuff now. So, but, and the last one is, I wanted to put this out because Ara asked me this today. And you're the first person I've talked to since he asked me. It's pretty funny. He's like, what's the feedback? Ara says, he goes, what's the feedback you get on those 2-hour podcasts? He's like, cause he's like, AV Rant does 2 hours and you guys do 2 hours, or you do 2 hours. And he's like, how do your listeners respond to that? And he goes, because they're usually an hour, a little less sometimes, or like 40 minutes roughly, sometimes shorter. But they're trying to keep it tight and everything. And that's what their listenership was for. So I'll ask you first before I tell you what I told him.
Okay. It's very similar to how I felt heading into this recording. Was that I was like, oh God, how am I going to fill 2 hours? And then all of a sudden, here we are at 2 hours and almost 40 minutes, and we're still rolling. if I see, you know, like Tuesday morning, whatever, I check, oh, here comes the new Takeover Tuesday, and I look, this past one was 3 hours. Oh my God, 3 hours. How am I going to listen to this for 3 hours? And then all of a sudden, 3 hours is gone, and it's over. And it's like, well, that was easy. So... to see the length, like literally with the time, is a little daunting, but then once you get into it, it flies right through it. And I don't know, it works for me. I enjoy it.
Okay.
I have to do it in chunks. I don't do it in one session.
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's the feedback that I get. And it's like, yeah, there are people that can't listen to anything for that long, and this isn't for them, right? And that's fine. And that's what I said to Ara. I said, but the most common response I get is when typically people tell me first time they contact me, they're like, oh, thank you so much. I listened to your podcast on my way to work. And then when they see a 2-hour, they'll be like, oh, I get to listen on the way to work and on the way home. Right. And then, so it's like, I also said to him, I go, if you guys started, all of us HD guys started doing 2 hours, they've been doing theirs for like 15 years, 17 years.
Right.
Their listenership might be like, what the hell is this? Right? Because that's they haven't cultivated a 2-hour audience, right? So it's
pretty well established.
Yeah. And so that's what I like here, is that that's what I want to, I want open. I like the ability to go whatever we want to go and keep it open and have fun with it. And like you said, you can do it in chunks, or you can listen. If you get bored, you shut it off and come back to the next one. I don't know, but it's the feedback's been positive. And literally when I hung up, I got an email from a new listener saying, I love your podcast. I listened on the way to work. I screen grabbed it and sent it to Ara. I go, see, he laughed.
He's like,
perfect. So it is funny. And, but yes, thank you, Mike. It is like, pretty much becoming official. It is all of our podcasts now. These new listeners that are reaching out to me, it's because of you guys coming on, stepping up. And I know it's not easy. Believe me, I was there. And, you know, and I can honestly say it'd be tough for me to do what you guys are doing. It really would, because I know how it feels. I know how it was when I started with my buddy John, and then I know how I felt when I did the one with Rich Keefe from Dork, and it was my podcast, but it was Rich Keefe from Dork.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I was so nervous. And you're like, so I get it. I understand it. And that it just makes me appreciate you guys, everybody that's stepping up so much more, that and it's helping all of this grow so that everybody can, whether they come on or just listen, but it's giving everybody an opportunity. And it's, you know, it's been awesome. Humbling, yeah, to say the least.
I thank you, man. Like, thank you for doing this, because I mean, there's a lot of us out here that are just dying to talk this stuff and listen to it and everything. And you stepped up and led the charge. So thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for letting us do this. Thank you for starting it. Thank you for all of it.
Anytime.
It's awesome.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And it's great. And the world's getting smaller because you're meeting people like this, uh-huh, and like face to face. And hopefully it's opening up more. I'm hoping to be able to go to Cedia, like talking with, go down there. And I talked with Todd today. I said, are you going? And he's like, I am, if it's there. But he said last year it's got canceled last minute. And I'm like, nah. So I'm looking at flights now. And I'm like, it'd be just fun to me, because I came into this late. I've never done this. I never went to those things. And meeting these people late, I mean, I've always wanted to. I've read about them. But now I actually know people because of this. And to meet you guys, like, you've been to these things, and to be able to go to these events now. And I mean, people are wearing my shirts. You guys are wearing my, that's freaking crazy.
That's awesome.
And, you know, it's crazy. And then like, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it, like SVS, hey, that's DJ. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I'm having a blast with it. And, it's all because of you guys. It's awesome. Because otherwise, I'd just be sitting here talking to myself.
You started it.
Yeah. Well, I'm nothing without all of you. So I'm really not. I remember the first time I sat here, like, oh, by myself. So now I'm not. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Thank you to everybody for listening. If you want to be a part of it, all you got to do is email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com or DM me on Twitter at @brightsideht, and we'll get you on the schedule. And we're actually getting down there. I got like 3 more scheduled right now, so that puts us into June. But then I'm thinking, if I run out of new, I'm gonna put everybody in order of like first to the latest, but instead of going back through the order, I'm going to pull numbers, and then I'll just contact you guys. And if you want to come on again, we'll schedule it. If not, you know what I mean? That way it's not like, you know, we don't just keep it repetitive, but now we can mix it up a little. So who knows? You could be back in a month. You could be back in whatever, but I think I'm up to like 15 or 16 people, which is crazy to me. It's like, that's awesome. Yeah, isn't it?
I'm in. You just let me know.
All right. It's great. Great. Thanks, Mike. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you.
Have a great week. I'll be back on Friday with, I got something really special lined up. I'm hoping it plays out for Friday. Mike and I hinted at it. He doesn't even know, but Mike and I hinted at it a little bit here today. So hopefully that comes through. But otherwise, I will have something for you on Friday. So, have a great week. Go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.